Wow, Fred Savage is the greatest actor in the history of the world.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I cannot listen to this song and not dance.
Psycho Mike, just shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Oh my gosh, shut up. You just talk too much. Shut up.
That's right. She knew not to step.
Please die, Psycho Mike. I really, really hate you.
Oh, yeah.
We are talking serious shenanigans here, right? Like drugs, alcohol, saying bad stuff, wrongful sex acts, tattoos, piercings below the waist area. Real bad stuff that we got to avoid. Now, how do we do it? Right here. We listen. We listen to folks who have learned some hard lessons. Come on out, guys.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, everybody, here comes the choo-choo.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is for all the Tostitos.
Roll another one.
What stuff did you do in Slithers?
Just like the other one.
That's right.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I mean, I guess it's okay.
I need another
hit. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Roll another one.
How are you off the set, you prick?
Just like.
Down the language, right?
This one seems to be about to end.
What is up with waiting?
I don't have another cent.
Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan of Paramore as I am?
You're a really weird man.
Just pass it around.
I'm very glad.
And now,
well, 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 how the turntables.
Our feature presentation.
I'm going to miss Michael Scott. I got to be honest.
He's so great at being at that uncomfortable. You know, he's so good at playing that uncomfortable moment where
you just want
him to say anything and he won't.
Yep. Except I've been very disappointed with this season of The Office. What have you guys thought? I thought it has not been good.
It's been better at other times, but I think it's going to come back with the switch and stuff.
I think I'm psyched about Will Ferrell's appearance. Yeah. There's four episodes coming up. But
I think Office is better than most shows.
Yeah.
So if you compare it to its best, it's not quite up to snuff sometimes, but I think it's still pretty good.
Exactly. All right, party people, it's finally Friday. We made it. It is the 4th of February. Let me find my story here. This is awesome. Kevin, you know baseball starts in about 10 days, right? And I have a baseball
10 days. What starts in 10 days?
Spring well, training? Pitchers and catchers report for spring training, yeah.
Okay, in 10 days.
In 10 days, right.
Okay.
But can't wait. It's been way too long. Since we've had baseball. But this has nothing to do with current day baseball. This has to do with one of the all-time great baseball players ever, Mickey Mantle, back in the news. There's a new website called Letters of Note that I have just been fascinated with because it's a blog where they post actual letters that have been written by celebrities. And oftentimes they uncover things that we have not known before.
Okay.
You see what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Right. So Mickey Mantle had a letter published this week that I just think is fascinating. He was sent a letter by the vice president of New York Yankees back in 1972 asking for some memories of Yankee Stadium because they were getting ready to tear down the old Yankee Stadium to build the new Yankee Stadium. It was the 50th anniversary of Yankee Stadium, and they wanted to know, what's your most memorable moment at Yankee Stadium? Now, Mickey Mantle, you look at that dude. I mean, how do you pick? He had so many great games there.
Sure.
I mean, he's, you know, an all-star, right? So the reason why this letter is getting so much notice is that in Mickey's own handwriting, here's how he answers the question. I consider the following my outstanding experience at Yankee Stadium. I got a BJ under the right field bleachers near the Yankee bullpen, is what Mickey Mantle wrote. And now it's a form letter that's sent out to a bunch of former players. So the next line is, this event occurred on or about, give as much detail as you can. Mickey Mantle writes, it was about the third or fourth inning. I had a pulled groin at the time and couldn't have sex. She was a very nice girl. And then it goes on to unbelievable detail about how it happened and what happened and what happened afterwards. And it's unbelievable that Mickey Mantle, who at this time was already, you know, a legend, that he would write something like this and send it into the Yankees.
Hey, they asked.
They did ask his most memorable moment at Yankee Stadium. Now, I don't know whether he was doing it just because, I mean, he was a known prankster. If he was just, you know, A, I don't know if it's true. Probably is.
No, probably is, yeah.
B, I don't know if he was doing it naively thinking, oh, I'm just going to fill out this survey.
Nope.
Or C, was he just, I'm going to blow their minds when I send this in because they think it's going to be, hey, I was part of an extra inning World Series game.
Yeah, of course. That's going to be funny. That has to be that one.
I would imagine so, but oh my God, it's so
during
funny.
During the game, during the third or fourth
during
inning.
During the game. Lettersofnote.com is where you can find that, and lots of other famous letters from famous people. But very, very funny stuff. So, good times.
You always wonder what goes on with the players who can't play. Like, he couldn't have gotten put in that game no matter what, right? Why even
dress? I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether that his groin injury kept him out of the game or just kept him from having sex. I don't know. But,
did he get the groin injury from the woman?
Ooh.
What about that?
I don't think so.
Maybe she was aggressive. No,
I don't know. But I mean, I bet lots of ball players have had sex during the game. I bet that's not that uncommon.
I would believe that, yeah.
Because there is downtime. You know, you've got the entire time that the other, that you're not up when,
Well, careful how you use your language here. The downtime and you're not up.
Come on, I'm sorry about that.
Seriously. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
Instantly, I would say, you're a nut.
All right. Actor, director, writer Kevin Smith, friend of the program in the studio talking about Red State. His new movie?
Yep.
We have LaQuisha on today's show talking about last night's Jersey Shore. We have tickets for you to go to the Big Four, which we're excited about. We have those you can earn today. It's going to be a painful game, but I think it's worth it for you if you win. If you don't win, it's totally just going to be
so one person wins, everyone else, including the listeners who aren't participating, they lose.
Yes.
Okay.
That would be accurate. Andrew Siciliano is in Dallas for the Super Bowl. Yeah, no kidding. And none of them can be happy. You know, don't you think that everybody thought Dallas, Texas, fantastic, going to go there. It might be cold because it gets colder sometimes, but and now it's just ice everywhere.
They weren't expecting a blizzard, that's for sure.
No.
And I bet for a lot of the journalists and, you know, many sports broadcasters like Andrew are broadcasting from the Super Bowl. I bet they look at it as one of the trips they're really excited about because it's, you know, you're there for a week and you're partying, you're hanging out, and you're having fun, you're seeing your friends instead of just trying to figure out how to walk across the street.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to him about Super Bowl and other things. We have Movie Beat today. We have the last edition of KBC.
This is it?
Giving away all the crap that we came up with by going through our office, and we're giving it away, and unfortunately this is the final day, so
darn.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
This is it.
This is it.
Right.
I mean, this is really it. This is the final. This is the final curtain call.
Right.
This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is this it.
Right.
Okay.
This is
so we'll
it.
Do it again on Monday?
No.
Oh, this is it. Okay.
Nope. It's going to die from propofol over the weekend.
Okay.
The top five sexiest Super Bowl ads we'll talk about today. Put my number one up.
I'm looking forward to that. I heard a study that said that 22% of people who say they tune in to the Super Bowl say they tune in for the commercials.
Well, you know, I am one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Well, because people talk about it the next day.
Yeah.
And they're kind of fun.
No.
They're not kind of fun?
No, I mean, I've
pretty interesting.
I've never gotten that. I mean, I know they bring out the big guns and they try to make their commercials
but
the
best. But if you absolutely, it's like baseball. If you absolutely could care less.
Right.
But you know there's going to be some great commercials and people are going to talk about it the
not
next day.
Not for 1 second would
really,
I want.
You wouldn't
no.
Do it?
Well, it's a four-hour game,
too. I just recorded
and
fast-forward.
It's a four-hour game, and now, within minutes of the game ending, there's websites that that post all the good commercials anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I mean, I also really don't care except the sexy ones. It's really all I care about.
They have those, Kevin.
So, wait, hang on a second. Let me just see if I got this right, Lisa. So you tape the game, and then you fast forward through the football, And then you watch the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Advertisers are very happy with you.
Right.
I'm sure they are. It's the only time I watch them.
We're going to talk to an actress, model.
Say it.
Minka Kelly.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Got a new movie out called The Roommate. Hey, easy on the bell.
No.
It's got to work all day.
I know. That was with no hands.
So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:49.
Hey, party people. Welcome to Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new show, a new day. Ralph Garman is here to tell us about it. What's going on, Ralph?
Gung Hei Fat Choi, everyone.
Hey, same to you.
Gung Hei Fat Choi.
Hi. Is that good?
Gung Hei Fat Choi.
Are you cursing at us? I don't
no,
know.
Delicious saying, with steamed rice.
No. I'm wishing you a happy Chinese New Year.
Oh, is that today?
Gung Hei Fat Choi. The year of the rabbit.
Oh, that's a good one.
Rabbit seems kind of lame.
What are you? What are you? Do you know?
Well, I don't know.
Kevin, what are you?
I don't know. What are you talking
what
about?
What are you, Kevin?
I'm a rabbit? I don't. What's
no.
the answer?
What do you know, they've got the different years of the different animals. You're the rat.
I have no idea.
You're the rabbit. You're the snake. You're
I
the
never
dragon.
Figured out what year I was in China.
Oh, it's the best.
What year are you?
It's like astrology. If you know what year you are, there are certain attributes that coincide with that
year. And then you can date other people.
Then you have those qualities. Right. It's significant. I'm a dragon.
You're a dragon.
Yeah.
Oh, you just picked dragon because it sounds cool.
No, I was born in the year
me
of the
too,
dragon.
Then.
No, you weren't.
All right, me too.
Hey! I'm a dragon, like hey, Bruce Lee. Anyway, happy Chinese New Year, everyone. It's like you're 4,720 or something. That's a lot of years.
Yeah, it is.
How come the Chinese have been around so much longer than the rest of us? I don't get it. They travel through time?
Yes.
I'm confused. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Can we catch the American Idol last night?
No.
The Los Angeles auditions?
No.
Yeah.
Magic!
Oh, really?
It was
did you think
almost
so, really?
Wall-to-wall bad, Kevin. You would have been your favorite episode ever.
I thought they weren't doing that this year.
They
though.
Don't do it. They haven't done a lot of it up till now, but last night's was almost wall-to-wall loons.
I'm glad you enjoyed it so much more than I did because, yes, they were bad, but they weren't very entertaining, I didn't think, most of them this time around.
The Human
I thought it was
Tornado?
A really boring episode.
The Human Tornado.
Kevin, the Human Tornado was a 59-year-old African-American gentleman named Cooper Robertson, I think, who is certifiably nuts.
Love it.
He seemed like a street person.
Who came in off the street with gold teeth and like a bad James Brown wig on and bells on his pants, and he was nuts.
Yeah. Better dancer than singer, I'm guessing?
Neither.
How do you tell?
Just spinning around being a loon. It was magic. And a guy, I insist, I'm going to have to get some tape from this guy for later on the show, but we need to have him on the air.
Right.
I think we need to adopt him, maybe have him do sports or traffic or news or whatever. We need to
take
put him on the show.
All right.
Matt Big Stats Frankel, who claims to be a CEO of his own record label.
That which, releases his own music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he is, I'm just saying, he should call it Short Bus Records if he's got his own record label. Because he is magic. Big Stats. Oh, we got to talk to Big Stats. He's a local boy.
He is convinced that he is a major player in the
yes.
entertainment world.
And he wears a suit, and he's constantly talking into his cell phone to nobody.
Awesome.
You think it doesn't even have service?
I'm telling you. That is, I think it may be one of those cell phones you get at 7-Eleven that just holds candy.
I like it.
It just looks like a cell phone.
I'm telling you, I'm busy. I'll have to call you back.
Book Shaka Khan. Lock her in. Lock her down. He's just walking up and down the street just talking to no one in a cell phone. It was
fantastic.
Magic.
I love him.
It was a great show last night. But the reason I thought of it was because we've already got our first American Idol controversy.
Uh-oh.
This round of auditions, they had a guy on named John Wayne Schultz. And John Wayne Schultz is a singing cowboy.
Okay.
If you can imagine by the name John Wayne.
Sure.
And the judges were so impressed by his melodic baritone and his smooth style. And they said, wow, this guy's going to Hollywood. He's moving on. Well, it turns out this isn't John Wayne Schultz's first bite at the showbiz apple. Turns out he released an album 9 years ago. And one of the songs from that album was in the running for 7 Grammys.
Really?
Yeah.
That's successful. Wow.
So is there, you have to be an amateur? Is that...
I don't know if there are rules or not, but there should be if there isn't, right? You can't have recorded an album and been up for a Grammy and then go on and compete against Tallulah Jones from Assback, Arkansas.
There have been several contestants throughout the years who had previously recorded albums. I think the only rule is you're not allowed to currently have a contract.
Well, that's wrong. That's wrong. It's way
wrong. What was the song that he got nominated for a Grammy for?
Listen, archaeologist of inane facts. I don't know.
I'm just curious how well known it was. That's
just Google it. Find out for yourself. I'm just saying it ain't right.
It does
I
seem
want
like
my idol pure.
Pure and bad.
Fight and
we have a clip.
We have a clip of his song from 9 years ago?
You're
really
good,
like?
Mike.
This is the one that he was nominated for. What did you say, 7 Grammys?
7 Grammy Awards.
So, maybe he's refined it since then, but...
You can go to TMZ.com if you want to get more details.
Here's the
on that.
How great is male ass?
Well, that I can understand. That's a country song. That should be nominated. Speaking of music, Justin Bieber was at the Knicks game at the MSG in New York City on Wednesday, sitting courtside, of course.
Fitting.
Sure.
He was sitting there courtside wearing pink sunglasses.
He was trying to blend in.
Just being a Knicks fan.
Just being a Knicks fan. And they showed him on the Enormotron.
Please tell me what I want to hear.
The entire arena erupted into massively loud boos, say onlookers.
Awesome.
The Beeb looked chagrined and sort of averted his eyes from the camera because everyone was booing him.
That's awesome.
That's great, isn't it?
And by the way, when you hear, I don't know how, what it holds, but when you hear 19,000 people booing together, it's
that's
awesome.
Significant. Telling you. You know, Impede the Beeb may have had a slow start, but it may be gaining some ground. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Yeah. I'm with that.
Rob Zombie's returning to the set. He's going to be directing again. He's just announced that he's directing a thriller that he also wrote called Lords of Salem.
Lords of Salem.
Starts in the spring. That's when production starts. It's about folks who live in Salem, Massachusetts, who unfortunately run across a 300-year-old coven of witches. And I'm guessing hilarity does not ensue.
No. Well, that's not really his style.
No, that's not his milieu.
No.
As they say in Koreatown.
Hey.
Congratulations to Colin Hanks, son of Tom, and his wife, Samantha Bryant. They gave a gave birth
son
to...
Son of Kobe?
No,
daughter of Kobe.
Wrong, son of Kobe.
Sorry,
you gave birth to a daughter yesterday. Her name Olivia.
Can't think of a better name for a daughter than Olivia. Come on,
probably the best name ever for a kid ever in the history of names.
See, because Ralph named his daughter Olivia.
Olivia Jane Hanks was born yesterday.
Don't they know if they're even tangentially related to celebrities, they have to name their kids something really
dumb. I get the sense the Hanks clan is pretty down to earth.
Mm.
Except for Chet Hayes.
Yeah, Chet is the oddball there.
He's a rapper.
Named Chet Hayes.
Chet Hayes.
You can't rap and be named Chet.
Chester Hanks is his name. Thank you. The good news is that Colin's show, The Good Guys Over on Fox, was just canceled. So we'll have plenty of time to change diapers and to, you know, stay up late with the baby. He won't be impeded by any work schedule.
That's what you want when you got a baby at home, is to be unemployed.
Yeah, I bet if he calls Tom, he could probably
lend
him a couple bucks till payday.
What the hell was The Good Guys, Ralph?
Good Guys was Bradley Whitford and Colin Hanks playing cops.
Gotcha. Got it.
Bradley Whitford was a loose cannon. He was an outlaw. He played by his own rules. He was a card that needed to be dealt with.
Right.
And Colin Hanks was more straight by the book.
Well, that sounds fresh.
They were two mismatched cops.
I've never seen anything like that before.
It didn't work. More celebrities having babies. Eli Manning, apparently.
Uh-oh.
He and his wife, Abby.
Is there a genetic test they can do early in the pregnancy?
Are expecting a baby girl this spring. Congratulations to the Giants quarterback.
Yeah.
And in the face of all evidence to the contrary, celebrities just keep getting engaged. Keep getting married, keep getting engaged. They're not the least bit deterred by the historical facts of their counterparts. Diana Agron. Ooh. Or Agron, I guess it's actually pronounced. I've been saying it wrong all this time. But Diana Agron from Glee plays Quinn on that show. Also stars in the upcoming sci-fi thriller I Am Number 4.
This looks good.
Does look good. She is engaged to an actor named Alex Pettyfer, who is, not coincidentally, her co-star in I Am Number 4.
Ah.
They met on the set, fell madly in love, and now they are engaged.
Congratulations.
Well, I mean, that's a bedrock foundation, because when you meet on the set, Ralph, it is forever.
Yeah, look, usually that is not the case. Usually a set is, as I've always said, summer camp for adults, where you are in a rarefied atmosphere, you're forced together in an unnaturally close environment, and you breed these feelings that you think are real, but in reality sometimes are just fleeting.
Then you move on to the next movie, and then what?
But other couples have made it work.
Yeah.
It's happened. Brad and Angelina, for example, fell in love with Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and look at
good
that.
Point. So,
also engaged, model Kate Moss.
Has rocker? Become,
has,
rock star?
She matter of fact, she's Kevin?
Not, is that right?
Kate Moss?
Yeah.
She is engaged to a rock star.
All right.
Yes, surprise. He's the guitarist from a band, The Kills. His name is Jamie Hintz. And apparently he popped the question by giving her a ring made completely from cocaine.
Yeah!
Which I found surprising.
He has to keep giving it to her,
just a big rock. It was a big rock.
She needs another one each week.
And maybe they should take a look at Terrence Howard and his wife, Michelle.
Why?
Because they have just filed for divorce.
Yeah.
So it doesn't always work, kids.
Are you saying it's hard out there for a pimp?
It's hard out there for a pimp. He, of course, starred in Hustle and Flow.
You
and
can't applaud
Iron
your
Man.
Own joke.
Yeah. He backed me up.
All right.
They are getting divorced almost exactly a year to the day that they were married.
Oh,
so they gave it a shot.
They did really hang in there and
for
give it a
God's
good run.
Sakes. Give them a break.
What do you want from them?
They did the best they could. Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Natalie Imbruglia.
Ooh.
Yeah, she's all right.
Good deal.
36 years old today. Bassist Rick Birch of Jimmy Eat World is 36. Rob Corddry. Our good buddy of the show, very, very funny man. If you're not watching Children's Hospital,
it's just magic.
You are missing out on one of the funniest 15-minute shows on television.
Maybe the only 15-minute show on television.
That may be the case, but it is so very funny. Noodles of Offspring. Speaking of friends of the show, Noodles is 48 years old today. Singer Alice Cooper turns 36. Producer George A. Romero, who gave us all those classic zombie films, is 71. Actor Conrad Bain.
Yeah! Mr. Drummond!
There it is!
He was... As Mike mentioned, Mr. Drummond on Different Strokes with the legendary Gary Coleman and Todd Bridges. He is 88 years old today. Played an elderly white dude who brings two strapping young black boys into his home.
Okay.
Didn't social services want to take a look at his
Heads
life?
Up.
Just, I don't know.
Red flag.
Go through the drawers once, look in the closet, see what's going on there in the Drummond household when he already had a daughter. I don't see why he's bringing the kids in unless there was something insidious going on there. And boxing legend Oscar De La Hoya, the Golden Boy. He is 38 years old today. Champ, how are you going to be celebrating your birthday? Do you have any big plans?
I have many avocados.
Many
and
avocados.
Some mangoes I will eat.
Uh-huh.
I will eat a dog in honor of Manny Pacquiao.
That's great.
Fantastic.
That's
all right, great
terrific.
Champion. Yeah, Golden Boy.
You're the people's champion.
Isale, te quiero mucho.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business. All right, everybody behave. The beautiful Minka Kelly's on the phone.
Oh,
the new film
God.
Is called The Roommate. It opens up everywhere today. Hi, Minka. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
Hey, I see you're calling from, is it New York?
I am in New York.
Yeah. Yes. Sunny and 73 here.
I'm on my way.
How about you?
Yeah, how is that? How is the snowpocalypse treating out there? I understand it's, I mean, literally there's snow because of the plows going down the streets. There's snow that's 18 feet tall in some streets. How are you handling it?
Where I am at, it's not that bad. It's not as bad as the news said it was going to be. So I kind of lucked out. And, you know, I think I'm probably really annoying to all the, you know, local New Yorkers when I say that I'm just having a blast and I'm loving the snow, obviously, because I'm from California.
Sure.
So we don't get this stuff. So it's magical to me. It's so fun. I love it.
So you can just,
I really do. And, you know, you just bundle up and you dress right, and it's not too bad. I mean, of course, I say that. I'm not the one having to shovel snow.
Right. Exactly. And it makes a big difference if you fly in, you get a few days of the winter wonderland, and then you go back home to sunny California. It's very different if you live there, and this is your 10th snowstorm of the season, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure there are a lot of people who want to punch me in the face for saying that.
All right. Well, listen, Minka, we're delighted to have you on. First of all, before we talk about The Roommate, are you coming back to parenthood? Because I don't remember when they fired Max's teacher, but I also haven't seen you on for a bunch of episodes. What's up?
I'm back. I'm actually coming home because I'm shooting right now. So I think in maybe 2 or 3 more weeks, you'll see that I come back.
That's great. And by the way, that's a show that for whatever reason doesn't get a lot of hype, doesn't get, you know, not a lot of people are throwing it out there as being one of the best shows on TV, which it is. It's so good and gets better every week. Congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so proud of it, too. I love it, and I'm so grateful. You know, Jason Kalems was also the head writer for Friday Night Lights, and so this is his new show.
Ah.
So he brought me on, and I think it has that similar tone and feel, you know, heart-wise.
Exactly. Well, listen, when you got a track record like you do with Friday Night Lights, one of the all-time great TV shows, Parenthood is awesome, 500 Days of Summer, great movie. Obviously, you know how to pick them. What is it about The Roommate that made you think, yes, I got to be in it?
I don't think necessarily I know how to I'm picking them. They're really picking me. I've just been really lucky to even have those jobs at all. You know, especially with Friday Night Lights, when you start out and you're just auditioning for any and everything, you'll take anything. So I really just got lucky there. And then with The Roommate, I just felt like, you know, I had an opportunity to have my first starring role in a feature film, and why not do it opposite my girlfriend? When it came to me, Leighton was already signed on, and I just thought, what a fun movie to be a part of. I loved Single White Female, and it's loosely based on that, and, you know, we're certainly not trying to recreate anything, you know, so epic, but it's that storyline, you know, of, you know, this girl has a chemical imbalance, and, you know, we're setting it in college, which I think is great, just because when you go to college, your dorm roommate is picked randomly, and my goodness, if this girl has a chemical imbalance, you're in trouble.
So you go, what, I don't know who it is, I don't know what their problems are, maybe we'll be best friends forever, maybe I'll hate her immediately, but
maybe
one college room with Minka Kelly and Leighton Meester in it.
That seems combustible to me.
Too much.
Seems like something's going to catch fire from the hotness is what my fear is. Now, because we want to help you sell tickets and we want people to go see this movie, tell me that before it gets all crazy, there's a lot of you guys in your, you know, panties and T-shirts and pillow fights and stuff like that before all that goes downhill, right?
There's a little girl-on-girl action.
Oh! Okay, now we're talking.
All right, let's talk about that specifically for a long time.
I know we have limited time with Miss Kelly, but Kevin, you have a clip. What's going on in this scene from The Roommate?
I think Minka is coming back from a date with a guy, and Leighton Meester is waiting at the door, very, very upset that she is late.
Yeah. Well, thank you for helping me not study.
Oh, anytime.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Where were you?
Hi.
I kept on calling and calling.
Rebecca, this is Steven.
I'm going to bed now. I'm glad you're okay.
Okay, I'm changing roommates right this second. And really, where were you?
Where was I?
No, I'm saying literally at where were you? You go, okay, need a new roommate? Make a note.
Yeah, this one's too creepy to live with, exactly.
Right, well, actually at that point it was like, wow, that was a little odd, but you know what? When you're in a friendship or relationship with someone, you justify that type of behavior for a little while at first. That was the very first sign of what's her problem?
Yeah. And speaking as a guy, you always give hot chicks more leeway. You go, okay, but she's hot.
You justify odd behavior and you make excuses for them. Like I did. I say, well, you know, maybe she's right. You know, I should have called. I guess I should have called.
I do love, and I am looking forward to the movie, Minka, but I do love what you've said in interviews. That you looked on YouTube for girl fights so you could get some ideas on how to play the scene where you and Leighton are just trying to kill each other, basically.
Absolutely, we did. Yeah, you know, this movie was so special to us that we really, it was our first, and so we just wanted to make it as best as possible, and so we wanted to make it as real as possible. With this type of genre movie, we just didn't want there to be any moments where it's funny or it's silly or stupid or unbelievable. And so, especially with the fight scene, we did Google girl fights, and we just, you know, girls fight to kill and they throw punches and, you know, sometimes more so than men.
So
we made sure to make it look just like that.
Well, it's just something else we have in common. We love watching girl fights. Minka Kelly, our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. The film is called The Roommate. Opens up everywhere today. Please go see it. Minka, thanks a lot for joining us today. We enjoyed talking to you.
Very much.
Thank you.
Lisa Mae, did you notice how unbelievably professional we all were in talking to Minka Kelly on the phone a few minutes ago?
I did. That was impressive.
I was really impressed with us.
Yes.
I have a sheet here where we all had taken our bets how long it would take for Bean to get creepy. Everyone,
what?
Everybody had bet, except for Lisa, because she was in the studio the whole time.
And I didn't get creepy at all.
Ralph said less than a minute. I think Mike came closest at 4:15. But when
what do you mean came closest? I didn't get creepy.
Yeah, only because the answer was great when you said, tell me that there's some pillow fights or something like that. That
right.
could have gone south,
yeah.
and that would have been creepy. But when she came back with girl on girl, that made it okay.
Oh, good.
So no one
I would just like to say, knowing how much I love Minka Kelly.
That's why we bet.
And knowing how desperately in love I've been with her since
right.
the first episode of the first season of Friday Night Lights, I think I handle myself pretty well.
So do I.
He got the creepy out before the interview. Let me just remind you.
Well, yeah,
we heard
that.
All the creepy before she came on the phone.
But that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. And we just don't want him to be creepy with her.
Just not scaring guests away on the air. That's what you're afraid of.
We don't want her to hang up the phone and go, okay, never doing that again. All right. Go to the website, kevinandme.com. I have been posting all this week the top five sexiest Super Bowl commercials.
And you've been doing the Lord's work with that, by the way.
Well, I think it's
excellent
important
stuff.
To, you know, to keep track of stuff like that.
Now, I love that you've been counting them down, and I'm eager to hear, for folks who haven't been to the website yet, I'm eager to hear the top five. But let me ask you this. Sometimes do they, tell me this is what's happening. They intentionally make ads that are just sexy enough that they're not going to be allowed on the network.
Oh, yeah.
So that they don't have to spend the $3 million for the commercial, yet still get all the publicity of all the news covering how their commercial's been banned, right?
Yes, but only one of my countdown is like that. All the other ones aired.
Okay.
But one of them was like that, where they just intentionally made it like too hot for TV, and then they get to say too hot for TV all over it, and then that makes it titillating, so to speak. Number five was Megan Fox, and she's in a bathtub. I don't know if you remember this. But she's in a bathtub, and she has a phone, and she takes a picture of herself.
This little guy from Motorola has Moto Blur. He pulls all of my important stuff and lets me update my networks all at once. I wonder what would happen if I were to send this out.
All right, so she sends it out, and then the electrical box blows up, and people have heart attacks. And
now, I have not watched that full video on KevinandMe.com, but I remember when it aired. Isn't she in a bathtub in the middle of a field?
Yeah, it looks like there's grass behind her.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't even notice that. I was looking.
Of course you didn't.
You know why? I was looking at her.
Right, but how does the plumbing work in that situation?
You might be missing the point.
Okay, all right, back to you.
She's naked taking pictures of herself and sending them out. I think
I get
let's
that too.
Not focus so much on the grass in the background.
I can't follow the infrastructure of that.
All right, the next one, number four, was one that they, I think, intentionally made too sexy so that it could be turned down so that they could say that. But I'm fine with that because it's, and it's PETA, which I don't really, I don't really like. PETA much. I think they have it's a great cause, but I think they hurt their own cause with bad tactics. But this one, this chick, I mean, she loves vegetables. Really, really loves them and is willing to be in lingerie or less and rub them all over her body. So that's good. That was number four. Number three, do you remember when Britney Spears was hot?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Those were the good old days, weren't they? Is that the last thing she did when she was hot before she shaved her head and got fat?
I don't remember the timeline.
That was the Pepsi commercial where she's singing and dancing and the guy is standing there in front of his grill and it's on fire and he doesn't notice.
Right.
And who's the war hero that did the commercials for Viagra? Bob Dole?
Oh, Bob Dole, yeah.
Is mm-hmm. sitting there and his dog is perking up and he's like, down, boy. That was really funny. So that was number three. Number two was probably the most famous, and this is the one where it was right after the whole wardrobe malfunction, and it was GoDaddy, and it was the chick in front of the what looked like the Supreme Court or whatever, and they were asking her questions about the commercial.
And what exactly will you be doing on this commercial?
It's an aerobic routine, and it starts off with some jumping jacks, and then I do this. Woo!
Please secure her. She's having a wardrobe malfunction.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And that's the little spaghetti strap on her top. Braces,
yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah. Which never had a chance of holding those in.
Right, exactly.
I mean, really, it was just, it was asking too much, I think.
It is funny in 2011, and I guess we'll have the same conversation in 3011 because human nature never changes. It is funny how if the boobs are a tiny bit bigger than somebody is comfortable with, all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
You put a girl on doing the exact same ad. Her boobs are a little bit smaller. Nobody even lifts an eyebrow.
They're a C instead of a D. No one cares.
Yeah, exactly. But if they're just a tiny bit bigger, just people freak out, and all of a sudden it's obscene and it's gross and it's immoral and it's a affront to our children and it can't be. You know what I'm saying?
None of that stuff. First of all, in reality, exactly. It was none of that stuff.
So you and I'm look. GoDaddy. I mean, those commercials in the Super Bowl is what put GoDaddy on the map, and I love GoDaddy, and that's what I use for all of my domain names and everything. Like, it's a good product. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you that I'm a little bored with every single year. Here's a commercial where it gets a little bit too racy. Now go to GoDaddy.com to see the rest of the spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't like to see the rest of the spot, but I never get tired of it being too racy.
Yes.
That's
right.
The part where I'm
that
good
works
with.
For you.
But aren't they using, they're using Danica Patrick now.
Yeah.
She's a new person now for those commercials, and she's just not hot enough for me to care.
She's not as hot as they make her sound. That's kind of troubling. But then number one, the sexiest, in my opinion, the sexiest Super Bowl commercial ever is Victoria's Secret Adriana Lima. And she's sitting there, and yeah, of course she's selling products for Valentine's Day, which is coming up, you know, in a week and a half after the Super Bowl or whatever. But she's wearing very little and playing with a football. And that's not a euphemism. She's actually playing with a football.
What year did this one air?
I'm not positive. I don't care. But it must have been recent. And then I also put up a little behind the scenes of her, like, getting warmed up. I think it's 2008. Is the answer to the question. So that's the top five. You go to kevinandbean.com. You can watch all five. I'm guessing you'll spend the most time with one and five. That's Adriana Lima and then Megan Fox. But check out, is the tub outside? Because we don't understand how the plumbing works on
that's the important thing to take away. Is that true, Mike? I hadn't heard that. Is that verified? Wow. How about
verified.
That?
Okay.
What Mike was saying. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for yet another hour. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, good news for Lord of the Rings and Hobbit fans. Peter Jackson's out of the hospital. He was in there last week for surgery on a perforated ulcer at a New Zealand hospital. He's scheduled to begin filming his two-part Hobbit movie next month, provided he's well enough. So it looks like things will go on, but it was touch and go there. That's a bad deal, perforated ulcer. You don't want that.
Sounds bad.
Yeah. You get one of those three-hole punchers, get down there in your ulcer. It's not good. Put it in a loose leaf binder.
Is that what happened?
It's a good thing for it. Charlie Sheen's at-home rehab approach seems to be working like a charm, according to his people.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no. His representatives say that he could return to the set of Two and a Half Men by the end of the month.
Wow.
He'll probably be fixed by the end of February, they're guessing. It's pretty easy once you're addicted to alcohol and cocaine to kick it at home. It's about 30 days. It's like one of those cleanses.
Yeah.
You drink some cayenne pepper and some honey and some lemon juice.
Okay.
Boom. Next thing, no more craving Coke.
Probably like 2 weeks, and then they're padding it with 2 weeks.
Yeah, they'll give an extra two just to make sure it really took.
Right.
To make sure the home version of our game really worked.
Right. It's just like, Mike, is Ralph right about that? It's just like flipping a switch to get off addiction to drugs,
yeah, I mean,
right?
You can pretty much just decide to stop doing
that. I think there's a DVD you can get.
Is that right?
At Amazon, and you just pop it in. It's like P90X or something, only it's like P30. Because it's only a month, and you watch it, and the next thing you know, you don't want drugs or alcohol anymore.
Wow, that's great.
I don't know why everybody always bitches about, oh, I have to get clean, oh, it's so hard. Dr. Drew, woo-hoo-hoo, my patients, boo-hoo. Just do it. Ask Charlie. You just do it.
Ask Charlie. Right. Just do it at home.
Charlie, by the way, sent E a text message regarding the coverage on his adventures.
Yeah, he wasn't happy with it.
He's not happy with it. He said, by the way, the public should believe nothing about his partying lifestyle that's been reported. Yeah, okay, you're right. All the reports are wrong.
Nothing.
There was never a suitcase full of coke. You weren't writing $30,000 checks to whores. You weren't drinking all night and watching porn till hours in the morning. You're right. Our bad. It's all made up. That's made up by the people who were there with you while you were doing it.
Eyewitnesses, yeah.
That's weird because he could only get away with that if there was no one talking. But they're all talking. And there's video now. You see the video today of Charlie dancing? They're playing music, and he's all disheveled, and he's like, oh, oh! He's just like out of his mind. It's video. You can see it.
Sounds like Omar.
TMZ, yeah, exactly.
Charlie also added, he thinks it's pathetic that Egypt is burning, and all people care about is his BS. Well, that is kind of pathetic, but still doesn't mean you're not entertaining, Charlie.
But wait, if we don't care about his BS, does Egypt stop burning?
Yes.
Okay.
If we start paying more attention to Egypt,
I didn't
the
know
fire goes
worked.
Out, and Anderson Cooper stop taking body blows.
Blows
all
to the dome.
Matters. Oh. Yeah. Mike,
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know why your name isn't being bandied about in the replacement for Regis Philbin search. You obviously did very well on that show.
Thank you, Ralph.
Why aren't they talking to you? Why isn't your name in all the rags?
Maybe I'm
all the tabloids.
I'm the ace in their sleeve or whatever you say.
Yes, you're the ace in their sleeve.
Yes, that's what they say.
You're the dark horse. But now several names have been bandied about so far. We've heard Lisa Rinna as a possible replacement for Regis to work with Kelly on the live show. We've heard Mark Consuelos, her husband, has been mentioned in the conversation.
Sure.
And now this morning I wake up to the fact that Juliana Rancic, you may know her from E. You know, she's the alien. She's the gray.
Right.
She's the gray that has come off her ship to give us showbiz news with her giant melon and her sloped eyes.
Right.
Oh, God.
She is here to announce that her husband, Bill Rancic, she thinks would be a great choice to replace Regis, and apparently he's in the mix.
Oh, good. So just random people now are just shouting out names?
I guess so.
Is that how it works?
She tells In Touch Weekly that he's in the mix, and he'd be a perfect choice. Because she says he's the nicest guy.
And he needs a job.
That's right. And she wants to retire.
Wow.
She says he's the nicest guy. Women love him, but he's still the type of guy that boys want to grab a beer with.
Okay.
Boys in West Hollywood, maybe.
I cannot watch that.
Doesn't mention here that he is talentless, though. I don't know if that comes in handy or not.
Well, but that's not a selling point.
He has zero charisma and has no real gift for television. I don't know if that has been brought up to anyone or not.
I'd like to see them give it to Jeff Probst. Not that anyone cares what I think, but I think that would be a good hire.
I think Probst has a job, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't watch 21 seasons in, I don't know how much longer he can or wants to do Survivor.
Oh.
I don't watch it, so that's fine.
I don't think he'd be making Survivor money on Live, quite frankly.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, he's making big bank now.
But he could stay in one place.
He works 1 month a
year. And let's remember, when he's on the island, he's not out there with them.
Nope. He's
at the Four
tent.
Seasons.
That's right.
That's a pretty awesome gig.
They give him a condo, and he stocks it with whores and cocaine and Charlie Sheen cast-offs.
Is that right?
And he parties in Guam or wherever they
are.
I
guess I'm saying, as a viewer, though, I think he brings an awful lot to the party. He's a very, very funny guy, very quick guy.
Take it easy. No one's discussing
he's
seriously.
A good interviewer.
No one really cares about Live so much.
I do. I'm going to miss my Regis.
I'd like to throw Gary Busey into the mix.
I would, too.
Now, now that's another great choice.
I would watch that. I would like him to alternate with Jeff Conway. I would like him also to be.
And Larry King.
And Larry King.
And Dennis Rodman.
And Matt Big Stats Frankel from last night's American Idol. I'd like him, his name to be thrown into the ring.
That's the only way I would watch that show.
Pants on the ground guy.
Pants on the ground guy. Oh, by the way, last night on American Idol during the audition, a young man came in singing the legendary Pants on the Ground song that was made popular last season.
Yeah.
He dropped his pants to the ground. Apparently was not wearing underwear.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
During the course of his audition.
Good.
The judges were not overjoyed.
Is it my imagination, or did Jennifer Lopez get hotter again last night, Ralph?
She's just something else, I'll tell you. I am falling deeply and madly in love with her.
She and that's something you never thought you'd be saying?
Well, I've always found her attractive, and I enjoy her in, like, Out of Sight with George Clooney. I like that movie, but I've never watched her films for the most part, and I'm not a fan of her music. It's not my kind of music. So she has always been sort of on the periphery of my social consciousness. And yet, now I'm in love with her.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Go figure.
Yeah. We should take some bets on how many of the contestants Steven Tyler is going to sleep with.
There's no question that he votes some of them to Hollywood just so he's got another crack at them.
Is it going to be 100% of the women or just 90?
There was a Middle Eastern young lady last night who was stunning and apparently was a belly dancer as well. And so she showed off a little of that before she sang, and her singing was just... okay, but Randy and Steven Tyler are like, yep, she's through. Maybe one of the best we've ever seen, dog. Maybe. And poor Jennifer Lopez, she's just gone really, really.
Shaking her head.
Yeah, it was great. Today's celebrity birthday is Conrad Bain.
Yeah.
There it is.
He is 88 years old today.
I want to
thank listener Nell for letting us know that Conrad is a twin. I did not know that. Conrad Bain has a brother named Boner Bain.
That is not true.
Apparently it is true.
That's not true.
I'd do anything to be Boner Bain.
Also celebrating his 88th birthday today.
Producer George A. Romero, who brought us Night of the Living Dead and Day of the Dawn of the Dead and Dead of the Dead, and You're Really
All
Dead.
All those deads.
He is a 71 years old singer.
I didn't see You're Really Dead. That's really dead. Like a good one.
That was the final one in the zombie series. And then, Now You're Really Dead.
And in parentheses, this time we mean it.
Alice Cooper is 63 years old today. May have reported she was 36 last hour.
I think you said that, and it was a little shocking. He looks bad.
He's a rough looking 36, but a good looking 63.
He's not even a good looking 63.
He is. He's got the makeup on. Noodles of the Offspring is 48. Rob Corddry, very funny man, turns 40. Oscar De La Hoya is 38 years old. Jimmy Eat World's bassist Rick Birch celebrates his 36th birthday. Natalie Imbruglia is 36 as well. And on this day, 105 years ago, Clyde Tombaugh was born.
Why would you do that?
Thank you, Ralph.
I received an anonymous email.
Anonymous.
From Washington State saying I should mention Clyde Tombaugh.
Why would
birthday.
You do that, though?
Look, the people are asking for
that's
it.
That's not
know
the
me.
People. That's the just people, being.
The people ask and I answer.
That's the guy that discovered Pluto, which
How about
has
that Pluto?
Since become not a planet.
It's not a planet.
So
it's
we
a rock.
Shouldn't even bring it up. I'm being obsessed
He discovered
with
a rock.
So being
If I go in the parking lot and I find a rock,
yes.
Will someone talk about me when I'm dead?
Yes.
105 years after my day of my birth?
Yeah,
probably
be
not.
A crazy man
probably
like
not.
Bean.
Probably will be Bean. His head will be in a jar. He'll have that brain just, you know, coaxial cable into his cerebellum, and he will just still be doing this radio show. So, to all you people in the future, I want to say I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Garman will be back in here in about 50 minutes with today's movie beat, talking about The Roommate, among other movies, with our girlfriend Minka Kelly. That's coming up right now. Ralph is here because it's time to give away some free crap. Am I right?
You're watching KBC.
It's KBC. We're cleaning out the closets. We're moving offices, and we found all sorts of promotional stuff. Some of the items I think have been in the office for about 10 years or something
high,
like that.
High value items that we are giving away for low prices.
And the low price of
nothing,
zero.
Nothing. We're giving away valuable prizes.
So
describe valuable for me. What does that
word
mean?
Let me give out the phone number real quick before we do that. It's 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number. All you have to do is get on the line, and we're spinning the wheel, and we're giving away stuff left and right. And I think today's the last day, so everything must go.
You're watching KBC.
You're not giving away the Pimp Cup, I hope.
Yes, that's on the list.
Don't give away the Pimp Cup.
The Pimp Cup must go. The WWE Pimp Cup must go.
The funny thing about the Pimp Cup is that it's not a Pimp Cup. It's like plastic and it's bedazzled.
Yes, it looks like something you would get if you ordered the deluxe drink at the Circus Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. It would come with a giant straw and it'd be filled with something blue and you'd walk around Vegas drunk drinking out of it. That's what it looks like.
And everybody would laugh at you.
Yes, and look at that tourist carrying that giant cup of crap.
But don't give that away, because I want that.
You're not getting it.
You can't have that, Kevin.
It's been around for 10 years, and you haven't thought twice about it until we pulled it out of the back of a cupboard.
I didn't know it still existed.
Exactly. So you didn't miss it.
I did miss it.
You're watching
KBC. You know what's interesting about this stuff that we're giving away is it's crap to us, but this is exactly the type of promotional material, the stuff that you cannot buy in the stores.
That's crap to everyone?
That people sell on eBay all the time.
Like that worth millions.
The WWE Pimp Cup is a great example. There is a WWE fan out there who would gladly pay to own the Pimp Cup as a promotional
Millions,
item.
Probably millions.
So I don't know about millions. But.
Millions.
All right, let's see who, let's go to William first. He's on line one. Let's start giving away the crap, because again, everything must go. Today's the last day of KBC. Hi, William.
You're watching KBC.
William?
Yes, what's up?
Turn down your radio, William.
Yeah, thank you.
You're watching KBC. The Kevin and Bean Crap Network, where we give away highly valuable merchandise for the low price.
Highly valuable, not included.
That's right.
All right, let's spin the wheel, see what William gets.
All right.
Oh, good spin. Good spin.
Oh, it's the Ralph Garman 2009 Best On Air Award.
Woo, what's that?
Wait, who gave that to you and why are you giving it to William?
William, have you ever thought, gosh, I wish I could be Ralph Garman just for a day or even a moment? Of course, we all have. Well, now you can feel the majesty and the power of being the Ralph-a-male with this Ralph Garman 2009 Best On Air Personality Award. This cheaply made award was given to every single radio douchebag that helped sell in the 2009 Oscar Awards telecast on ABC.
Now
you'll feel as special as he did when he received this award, postage due. So congratulations.
Postage due.
What I've always wanted.
Yeah.
All right, William, congratulations.
Showed your friends, say, look,
where are you
I'm the
put
best
it?
On air.
Where are you going to put it, do you think?
I have this nice big trophy case I'm going to look at it.
Spectacular. Right, congratulations.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for playing.
Let's try
Garrett on line two. Hi, Garrett. Thank you for dialing into the Kevin and Bean Show. You're watching KBC.
Hey, that's not your line, man.
Oh, sorry.
You're watching KBC.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm ready.
All right, spin the wheel.
Not the pimp cup, not the pimp cup.
Holy paperweights, Batman! You are now the proud owner of a deluxe miniature Batmobile tumbler paperweight from the Christopher Nolan Batman movie. Hold down all the stray papers in your Batcave or throw it at your butler, Alfred, if he brings you oolong tea instead of your spiced apple herbal.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. You must already have that, Ralph, before giving that away.
Yeah.
Nice item.
Let's go to line 8. Is this our friend Gay Micah? Is this Gay Micah calling in on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Hey, Micah?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
yeah, it is.
Are you Gay Micah? This is Gay Micah, right?
Yes.
Hi, Gay Micah. Let's find out if Psycho Mike is on the wheel. I think that's what he's hoping.
I don't believe he is, but let's take a spin.
For the listeners, Gay Micah does email Mike every day.
With words of love.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, the combination mini flashlight and breathalyzer. Micah, are you drunk? Are you Kevin? Then see how much time you're going to do when the cops pull you over on your drive home tonight with this. The combination mini flashlight breathalyzer. You know, St. Patrick's Day is right around the corner, and this combination mini flashlight breathalyzer is the perfect gift for the drinker in your life, or Kevin. The cops can use the breathalyzer to see how loaded you are, and then use the powerful mini flashlight's beam while they search your cavities before throwing you in the holding tank. Micah, congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Just what you always wanted. Thank you for playing.
Perfect item for Micah, to tell you the truth. With the cavity surgery. Yeah, all right. How about DJ, line 3. DJ calling in on the Kevin and Bean Show as we continue to clean out the closet. Oh, crap. Hi, DJ.
Good morning, guys.
You're watching KBC.
Hey, what DJ gets?
No pimp cup. No pimp cup.
Ooh,
no pimp cup.
That's bad timing. It's the Iron Man gift set.
Now hit it. Iron Man.
Iron Man is one of the greatest superheroes in the world, and now you can play Iron Man with your kid or mentally challenged cousin with this used Iron Man action figure.
Oh, nice.
But that's not all. When you're parched from going... you can sip from Iron Man's head. What? Yes, this used Slurpee cup shaped like Iron Man's head is sure to be a valuable collectible if every other one of the millions of these that were sold suddenly bursts into flames due to spontaneous combustion. Congratulations.
Right on.
You're a lucky, lucky man.
Yeah.
All right, how many items you got left?
We only have one item left.
No, really?
Who we got left on the phone here? I'm going to spin it anyway, even though we know what it's going to be.
It looks like Paul is on the line. Is Paul on line 4? What do we got?
Who we got? Paul?
Yeah, this is Paul. And I'm calling. I'm an inspector, and I would like to.
Hold on, you're not Paul.
I would like to get the WWE pimp cup.
Kevin, we can see you on the phone.
You're talking right into the
phone.
You're in the room with us.
No,
you're in the studio. No, you're Kevin. I'm looking at you talking into the phone right now.
Come on, guys, I want this.
You don't get the WWE pimp cup. However, Paul does. Paul, you there?
Hang on, let me get him. All right, Paul. A hole.
Paul.
Yes.
Hey, congratulations! You win the WWE pimp cup.
Right on.
Paul, let me ask you a question. Are you a pimp?
Do you have
a pimp?
Sure, why not, by the way. It means yes.
Do you just like to drink from cups?
Yeah, right. Look at this bitch drinking from cups. Yeah, right. Not now, not never.
Yeah. Well, no matter who you are, everything will taste better when you drink it from this WWE pimp cup. Made from the finest extruded plastic and adorned with the finest faux crystals, you'll be the envy of all your friends when you're sipping your scissorp from this chalice of malice.
Yeah.
The chalice of malice, everybody.
Wow, yeah. Strong.
All right. That is a hot item. My advice to you, Paul, seriously, put it on eBay and Kevin will buy it, okay?
Yeah, I might just do that.
Thank you, and thank you for paying attention.
You're watching KBC.
Auto 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Don't forget the K-Rock Big Game Party Sunday at the Key Club.
What do you mean by Hollywood? Big game? I'm not sure. That seems vague. What are you talking about?
It's the game that happens this Sunday. I think I'm allowed to say Sunday.
Nope. No, you can't.
Can't say that.
Sunday
no.
Probably the NFL. Who's playing? Who's playing, Kevin?
A couple teams that we can't mention.
Really?
And it's going to be at the Key Club in Hollywood. I can say the Dirty Heads are going to be there.
That you can say.
I can say that. Admission is free?
No, free I think is NFL's property
shoot.
Now. Yeah.
I don't know what to say and what not to say. Anyway, be there this Sunday at the Key Club, and you can enjoy that. So
details at krock.com.
It is 7:24.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. That means Rob is here for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
It is another week. That means there's another Natalie Portman movie in theaters.
Fantastic.
What's going on? Yeah. She hasn't had a movie come out since, well, last week.
I love her so much. What's she in
Well,
now?
You'll be happy to watch this then. It's called The Other Woman.
Okay, I'm in.
Now, this movie was made well before Black Swan was even made. I think it was made in 2009. It's finally being released in limited release here in Los Angeles and in other cities across this great country of ours. But it is, it's already been available to see, for the you're so inclined, on pay-per-view.
Oh.
Video On Demand has been offering it since the first of the year. And this is a very popular distribution model that's being used by some studios to release especially small independent films because they hope it'll gain some traction on television, people paying for it on Video On Demand or pay-per-view, and then telling their friends and maybe people go see it in the theater. So, you know, it's funny because we'll be talking to Kevin Smith later on today about his interesting distribution model where he's taken the movie around, carrying it literally under his arm from city to city and then talking about it afterwards. And this is another new attempt at gaining viewership by making it available to people on cable and satellite systems.
What's the name
first.
Of it?
It's called The Other Woman.
The Other Woman.
And she stars as a woman who is a young Harvard-trained lawyer who sets her sights on her new firm's boss, played by actor Scott Cohen. She's trying to seduce him away from his wife, played by Lisa Kudrow. And let's face it, if you're married to Lisa Kudrow and Natalie Portman comes into your life, it takes about 30 seconds to make that decision, right?
That is a train right up.
Who's Lisa Kudrow at that point?
Yeah. Natalie Portman's character has some damage, naturally, or else it wouldn't be an independent drama unless she was a damaged young lady.
Sure.
She lost a child recently, and that has changed her behavior significantly. And it's by all accounts, a fascinating sort of emotional thriller. Here is a scene from the movie where Natalie Portman wants to move in with her new married boyfriend.
I think we should move in together.
Amelia.
Just hear me out. I love you, and I know you love me, too.
I love you, but I have a family.
You have a son, Jack. You don't have a marriage.
Screwing up one child is enough for a lifetime. I'm done. What?
I'm on the pill. I don't understand. Look, Don't worry about it, okay? It's early. It's like 8 weeks or something, so it won't be a problem.
That's what's going on in his mind right now. That's a little subtext for you. Yeah, he got his girlfriend pregnant that he works with while he was trying to end the relationship and go back to his wife.
And that
it's a horror movie is what it is.
Does that make it easier?
It's a horror movie.
Oh, okay.
It's available in selected theaters around the Southland and across the country. You can look for it if you want. The Other Woman. Also opening this weekend is Sanctum.
This looks great.
From James Cameron. He's the executive producer of this film. It's shot in his patented special 3D technology. Sanctum is about a group of underwater cave divers who experience a life-threatening crisis when the cave they're exploring gets flooded, and then they have to live underwater for the rest of their lives and start a new colony. And they all turn blue, and they start flying around in dragons.
Nope, that's a different one.
Here's a scene where the leader of the team gives the rest of them a pep talk, saying, look, sure we're in a cave. Sure, we're probably going to drown if water's pouring in, but we'll be okay.
We should explore this section while we're waiting. Might be a way out.
Waiting for what?
Waiting for the rescue party.
There are no rescues down here. Only body recoveries. Everyone up there already thinks we're dead.
Still think we should sit and wait.
Yeah, we've got enough food for the next couple of days.
Couple of days, this cave's going to be underwater. Understood. We follow the river and get to the ocean.
Hey, Chuckles the Clown.
a little optimism.
A little less of you speaking up when the rest of us are trying to stay alive, okay?
No, it's just body bags. We're all dead.
Everyone
thinks
we're
dead. We're probably going to be dead. We might as well just kill ourselves now. We're dead.
I got to say, though, the one thing about Jim Cameron is that he shoots his movies in 3D and writes them and intends them to be seen in 3D, and he maximizes the effect of that medium, that's for sure.
He does write them in 3D, literally.
He does.
Well, you know what I mean.
He uses a special
pen
where the letters come off the paper and they go right into your eye. It's very spooky. Yeah, he knows what he's doing when it comes to 3D, and this looks pretty cool, so you may want to check that out. And lastly, opening up this weekend is The Roommate. Leighton Meester and Minka Kelly.
Is that the hottest college room ever?
Jeez, they're pretty hot. I wish there was another hot woman that attended this college, though, where they're all together. Oh, Ally McKellar. McKelka. Ally McKelka.
I don't know who that is.
Hellcats!
Oh!
My special blonde cheerleader from Hellcats.
Yes.
She's in it too. She's also in this.
All right.
It's just oh, it's so hot. It's like the James Cameron of hot 3D. A college roommate finds that her roommate that she shares a room with, because they're roommates,
sure,
is nuts and wants to take over her life. Remember Single White Female? Remember that movie about the girl who had the apartment roommate and she just started absorb her personality and become her? And
it was a fun movie.
It's spooky on almost every level. But the good news is apparently there's some girl-girl action in it, so you got that going for you. Here are some edited clips from the trailer of The Roommate.
Rebecca's doing really well.
She's doing good.
She's taking her medication.
Medication? Rebecca, something is up with your roommate. You're a bad influence on her.
I got rid of them all.
Whoa, come on.
For you. You're all mine.
What's going on in her mind right
Impressive.
Now?
Impressive.
Yeah. Put that on the poster.
They should. Oh, it's got to be The Roommate. It's got to be the pick of the weekend,
That's
right?
What I'd
it's
say.
Just so much hotness.
It's got everything.
It's got a crazy girls who are hot. How good is Rebecca in bed, by the way, when she's not on her meds? That's what I want. That's the question I'm asking. And you hide that pill bottle if you're dating her, because the nuttier she gets, the more she's going to do to you.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
You might end up dead, but
sure,
it'll be a good ride.
But look, what do you want to do? Live forever? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Andrew Siciliano, our friend from the DirecTV Red Zone and Fox Sports, is in Dallas covering the Super Bowl. He just tweeted, 4 more inches of snow this morning, covering the ice. The city has no plows, doesn't use salt on the roads, only sand. It's a mess. So they are not having the best time ever at Super Bowl 45, but we'll check in with Andrew on the phone in about 20 minutes or so from right now on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, time for the Kevin Bean Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. That is our number. You call us.
Afro Line. It's your month. Happy birthday, Afro Line.
That's thoughtful.
Oh, see, because I get it. It's
That's
Black
nice. Remember when Ralph was in Sharktopus and he came up with the slogan, "Damn you, Sharktopus!"
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And then he told us the new movie that was going to come out.
Damn you, Piranaconda!
Piranaconda.
All right, maybe that'll catch on, too.
Keiko Mexico called himself the Mexicutioner, which is the name of a UFC fighter, and he just figured he could get away calling himself that, even though he's not really a fighter or threatening in any way. And the real Mexicutioner told me he had 10 days, which, by the way, runs out today, Bean.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So if Dave uses the Mexicutioner after today,
right,
the real Mexicutioner is going to come and punch his face in.
He said kill him.
Okay.
All right. So my thought is, A, we keep calling him that, because what can he do about it?
Right.
You know, and then the Mexicutioner hears about it, or we get him another name.
If Dave joined the fire department, would we call him the Extinguisher? Or I don't know if I want to put that out. Anyway,
the Mextinguisher.
The Mextinguisher. Psycho Mike also hosts Loveline, and he's the guy that always has the videos that you don't want to see, and he sucks you in and he goes, "Hey, you want to see something cool?" And you look at it and you go, "Oh, I'll never be able to unsee that." He did that with Nick Swarsden, and a listener heard about it, went to the video, and noticed something different.
So I was watching the Nick Swarsden on Loveline thing that you guys were just talking about with him looking at gross pictures, and I never knew that Psycho Mike was hot, and now all of a sudden everything that he says on the radio is funny now that I know he's hot. I always thought he was annoying, but now, like, he's hilarious.
Isn't that interesting how that works?
Mm-hmm. Oops, sorry, that's the wrong one. This is the one I wanted.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Thanks for that info, Bean. Thanks for that info, Bean. Thanks for that info, Bean. Thanks for that info, Bean. You know, playing those sound drops over and over and over does not help the situation. As a matter of fact, it's more annoying than Bean's little info bites, okay? Stop it! Stop it, Kevin! Stop it! Stop it, Kevin!
There's a lot of short fuses in our audience today. What's going on?
Anger management much?
It does seem like everybody's this close to breaking out there. I don't know what's happening. I'm afeard.
I think this one is just for you, Bean. One of your lunch dates called.
Hey, Bean, this is Hoodie from the Hoodie and the Klansman show on KKKK White Supremacist Radio. Just wanted to confirm our lunch date for tomorrow. See you there.
Yeah, Hoodie, I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Bean has recently come out and lied, saying that he now finds Justin Bieber's music good and he likes him and blah, 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 blah.
I've turned the corner on the Biebs. I was with you guys. I was not a fan on Justin. And now that I've spent a little bit more time with his music, I'm starting to like the dude.
Any grown man who likes Justin Bieber is a pedophile and a sheep. Go f*** yourself, Bean.
That's accurate. Dare you. That's science.
Just because I've got the Bieber fever doesn't make anything else true.
Then he called back and said,
you.
So we have that. Bean's spreading a nasty rumor that I broke up the White Stripes, which is ridiculous.
White Stripes break up. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Psycho Mike, back me up on this. I'm not just pulling out of thin air. Kevin has a history of breaking up bands that have been together for a long time, right?
Yeah,
that's what he does.
Everyone from Zeppelin to
and he shot John Lennon. Remember
the Beatles?
He shot John Lennon. That's true. He was at Kurt Cobain's house that mysterious day in '94. He's got a long track record.
I was at all of those places, and I broke up the White Stripes. Yeah, that happened. All right, this is long, but bear with it.
That's what she said.
That's what he said, actually. Remember when Omar used to do the Glee Caps?
Yeah.
Right. Certainly.
And that was, what, they ended like a month or two ago?
Okay.
So that's the starting point for this call.
Hey, Omar. You killed me to hear you're no longer doing the Glee Caps. It's the only reason I tuned in, really. I mean, I listen to Big Boy. So I did a bit of digging, and I found a leaked episode for next season. I want you to see it's completely redesigned.
All right, now. Everybody following? He did some research.
He did some research because he knows that Omar hates Glee.
Right.
But he's found an episode leaked too early for next season.
Right.
And he's going to turn Omar around on liking the show.
Right. All right. Now, let's go.
Think you might like it.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys that want to double cross for me.
They did me some wrong in the past, so... Yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right?
Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go later.
You're right. The show blows.
You have to go to YouTube and look up Cucamonga Heat. It is maybe the worst movie ever made, and it was Omar's college project. And there is one scene where a guy puts a gun to his head, and there's the sound effect of, like, I don't know, 8 gunshots. And the guy is still just kneeling there like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's point-blank range. And the special
effects... It's got some continuity problems, if that's what you're suggesting.
Special effects are great. It's really maybe the best movie that's ever been made and worst at the same time. Cucamonga Heat is the name of it. The number, if you want to call the Afro line, is 323-520-AFRO.
Not only Andrew Siciliano from the site of the Super Bowl coming up, but we got tickets for the Big Four next hour. We're talking about sending you to see Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax April 23rd at the Empire Polo Club in Indio. We'll tell you how you can win on the way. Hey, do we have Ralph Garman?
Paging Ralph Garman. Paging Ralph Garman.
This is his time, right?
Oh, there he is, yeah.
There is Ralph Garman.
He's here.
Time for the showbiz beat here on a Friday Kevin and Bean show. What are you talking about, Ralph?
I'm just, sorry, I was a little rattled in the other room. Got some horrible news, and it's just kind of thrown me for a loop, so I apologize. Turns out that this Sunday Super Bowl, it's going to be hard to get through this story.
Doesn't involve the Eagles?
Well, that's the first worst part. Not only just for me, but for America. Because, let's face it, the team's a gift to society,
that's
really.
True.
The Eagles are. It turns out this Sunday Super Bowl will be the first ever Super Bowl that is cheerleader-free.
What?
No!
No cheerleaders on the sidelines for the Super Bowl.
Why?
Well, Kevin, it turns out that the Steelers dumped their cheerleaders, the Steelerettes. First of all, worst name ever.
It really is.
In 1969 is when they stopped having cheerleaders for that team.
It's probably good with Ben Roethlisberger in the team. But 69, he wasn't around.
No, he wasn't.
Huh. Wow. Okay, so why?
And
why
the
Green
Packers
Bay?
Squelched their Packerettes.
That's not what they're called.
It was.
Come on.
In 1988.
Who knew? knew this was happening.
They stopped their cheerleading program in 88.
So this is, it's just luck that these two teams made it.
So these two teams together mean no cheerleaders at the Super Bowl on either side.
It's not an NFL rule.
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
All right.
No cheerleaders. There are no cheerleaders to be had. If they wanted to have cheerleaders, they couldn't because there's no Steelerettes or Packerettes. No cheerleaders at the Super Bowl. First time ever in Super Bowl history, no cheerleaders.
And it's not a cold weather thing, right? Because Minnesota and New England and other teams in those kinds of weather conditions, they still have cheerleaders out there.
Yeah, they cover them up, you know.
Right.
Have you guys
They make them useless by putting clothes on them, but still.
Have you guys seen the women in Pittsburgh and Green Bay?
How dare you, sir?
I think there are a lot of hot chicks in Wisconsin. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. Yeah, Wisconsin's a hotbed of babes.
They are. Telling you.
No, they aren't. They're just a handful of attractive women that they could have found.
Ton of hot chicks.
No, not a ton. Shut up.
What's the all city that has the college there? The college
Madison.
Town? Madison. Yeah, that's where the hot chicks are.
Yeah.
But not in Green Bay.
No. But still.
But still.
Super Bowl cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hand meat glove. Peanut butter meat jelly.
So why tune in? Is that your point?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Might as well just go to the puppy bowl.
Yeah,
sure.
I don't think that's going to happen.
At least they're going to have some pussies at halftime, you know, with that kitten thing they're going to have right there.
See how you work that?
Yeah, they're having the all-kitten halftime. In between on the puppy bowl.
And the beaver you make too. Money promoting sin.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I do want to give you a heads up. If you would like to meet our legendary security guard, Charles Connor,
who, for those who don't know,
is not only the best guy in the world, but it was also the original drummer for rock and roll architect, Little Richard. Legendary rock star Little Richard from the 50s. Charles was his original drummer. He was the one who created the backbeat that we all know and love for rock and roll, basically.
That's what I'm talking about, sucker!
That's right. He's going to be at the Pasadena Book Fair tomorrow, Saturday, February 5th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., signing his book, Don't Give Up on Your Dreams, You Can Be a Winner, Too.
And that's not necessarily true, by the way.
He's going to have photos and drumsticks and posters of the movie he was in with Little Richard and stuff. So go by if you're in Pasadena and at the book fair and say hi to Charles and tell him that we sent you. Because he's a great guy, and I just wanted to give him a little shout-out.
He's the best.
That's all. Keep it funky, now.
I got his book, and he's got stories to tell, too.
He does.
He really has stories.
He's lived the rock star life when they were just inventing the rock star.
Yep.
So congratulations. Here's an interesting story. Do you have any idea how many celebrities are pilots who fly their own planes? I was shocked at this list.
I only know of John Travolta.
That's what I thought. Harrison Ford and John Travolta were the only guys I could think that were pilots.
But Harrison's not behind the controls anymore, is he?
Yes.
Really? Still?
Yeah, he's out there.
He's out there doing search and rescue, remember? Still?
Patrick Swayze, before his death, he was a huge pilot. I knew that, right?
He's like the wind at Patrick Swayze.
F-I-L-E.
He would fly through the sky.
I-A-G-R-E.
Just like the wind. I'm saying he was like the wind.
Put it in the file.
I'm interested in hearing this list.
You're flying in the sky, aren't you? Just like the wind.
We understand it.
Aren't
you?
We're filing it.
It's hardly file material. It's perfect.
We'll be the deciders of that.
Because he had a song in a movie 25 years ago, Ralph, you think it's legitimate? Is that what you're saying?
We're talking about flying, which happens in the sky, like the wind.
You'll have your day in court. Don't worry.
Well, I know.
It does make sense because think about the components of being a star. You're wealthy. You have a lot of time off, and you have lots of places to go, and you don't want to be inconvenienced by having to be at the mercy of the commercial airlines.
Yes.
So why not fly your own plane?
Yes.
Because it seems like it would be a lot of work. Who do you have?
Angelina Jolie is a pilot. Has her license.
No
has
way.
Has her pilot license.
She can't do everything.
She does
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. She an astronaut, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Clint Eastwood has his pilot license.
No kidding. I didn't know that.
Craig Ferguson of Late Night with Craig Ferguson.
I don't think we want him behind the controls, either.
David Lee Roth.
I guarantee we don't want him.
Pilot.
No. Dennis, he drinks when he flies, right?
Dennis Quaid. Giselle Bundchen.
Nope.
Not Randy Quaid, though, right?
Not Quaid, no. Because the Hollywood Hit Squad's after him.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford, as I mentioned. Hilary Swank.
Wow.
I think she flies a Cessna.
She probably learned to fly for that Amelia Earhart movie.
James Blunt. James Franco.
Of course, he does everything.
Of course he does.
Jimmy Buffett.
No.
Oh, wow.
Chris Christopherson.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell. Matthew Fox from Lost. Do you want him flying your plane?
No. I don't want him on my plane.
Next thing you know.
No, not at all. Yep.
Vincent's licking your face. You're in the woods.
Out of euphemism, ladies.
Morgan Freeman.
All right. He'd be a great pilot.
Yes. Prince Harry and Prince William both have their licenses as well. Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York. Tom Cruise and Zach Braff all have pilot licenses.
How about that?
How about that, indeed?
Are there varying levels?
See, this
levels?
Isn't just a funny segment. It's an educational segment.
It's not funny most of the time, either.
How dare you, sir?
And I know you were just talking about actors there, but our friend Dexter Holland from The Offspring comes to mind as being one of the musicians who flies himself, too.
There you go.
How about that?
Boy, think about that next time you see a plane in the sky. It's one of those people. Hi, Hillary Swank. Wave to it.
One more time.
Hi, Hillary Swank.
That's it. Kevin mentioned I'm not funny very often. That's because they usually save all the best showbiz stories for Hollywood Babylon, which happens tomorrow night at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. See me and Kevin Smith talk about popular culture in today's show and this week's
show.
Is that
why we get She's Like the Wind? Uh-huh. Because you're saving the good stuff for tomorrow night?
That's right.
If you really believe in it, you'll do it again tomorrow night.
Could put my stuff in the pocket.
You really believe in it.
It's Saturday nights at 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz Comedy Club at City Walk. And go to Babylon Ralph or BabylonKev.com for more details and buying tickets and whatnot. We'd love to see you come out this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays, Conrad Bain.
There it is.
The world don't beat. Nope. Let me try. I'm just going to move along. I'm going to stop my different strokes theme.
You've been hanging around me too much.
Tribute. He's 88 years old today. George A. Romero, producer, director, extraordinaire, 71. Alice Cooper. 63 years old today. Noodles of the Offspring is 48. Rob Corddry is 40. Oscar De La Hoya celebrates his 38th birthday. Rick Burch of Jimmy Eat World is 36. And Natalie Imbruglia, she is 36 as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Coming up later this half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, LaQuisha joins us reviewing last night's Jersey Shore on MTV. And we've got tickets for your Big Four concert in about 30 minutes. Right now, Andrew Siciliano, live on the phone, Dallas, Texas, Super Bowl 45 this week. And Andrew's been out there all week long. Of course, you know him from the Red Zone and DirecTV and the Final Score on FSN. Hey, Andrew, how are you, man?
Good morning, everybody.
I get the impression, not only from your tweets, but from watching the news, that the media in town to cover the Super Bowl has been miserable this week. What's going on with the weather, dude?
The answer is yes to that, but I want to get something out of the way.
All right.
Fans hate hearing media complain about logistics or weather,
yeah,
about the events that they are going to that the fans can't attend. So, like, for example, the Super Bowl in Jacksonville years ago, and Jacksonville never deserved the Super Bowl. All we did was complain about it, turn people off. So complaining about the weather gets you nothing, but unfortunately, it's not about complaining, it's about reporting right now. The weather is the story here. Dallas, bless its heart, this is Dallas's attitude about snow and wintry weather. This has been the attitude for years in our family here. It's, well, if it snows or if there's ice, and they usually get ice more than snow, don't worry about it. The sun will come out tomorrow. It'll be gone. It's like a one-day thing. So everybody stay inside. And tomorrow, if you wish really hard, it'll go away.
And how's that working out this week?
That's not working out this week, unfortunately, because this thing doesn't stop. And a perfect example, nothing has fallen from the sky until midnight last night, where we now have like 3-4 extra inches. Nothing had fallen since like Tuesday afternoon. Mm. So 48 hours, more than 48 hours, yet schools had been closed all week. Wednesday, Thursday, they're still closed. There was no snow on the road, but they were still closed because they couldn't clear the ice. They don't have salt here. Evidently, it's illegal. They use sand. Sand is good for traction for a couple of cars, but it doesn't melt the ice. They can't deal with it, and it's not going away. They say it's maybe 45 tomorrow, so there will be some melting, and they're hoping for 45, 50 on Sunday. So by game day, it should be okay.
Now, there's a roof on the new stadium, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it'll be fine at the game.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's, again, the average fan at home will say that's the only thing that matters. And you know what? For the most part, they're right, but this is big business, and it's not just the NFL losing money, canceling parties, and logistically having it a nightmare. It's the city of Dallas, which is just getting devastated financially with the storm and with all the revenue they're losing from the Super Bowl.
And you had all sorts of power outages in that part of Texas, too. I mean, it was really, really bad. I mean, thousands and thousands of people without power, right?
They had rolling blackouts, and get this, they screwed it up. Evidently, you know, for rolling blackouts, you're not supposed to hit hospitals.
Right, of course.
But they evidently hit a couple of the hospitals accidentally. And at the same time, they made certain not to hit the stadium where they're getting ready for games.
Oops.
So the stadium wasn't hit, but they hit a couple of hospitals, which turned out to be somewhat of a news story.
Yeah. Oh, but nobody died. It wasn't like Grandpa was on a machine or something like that that got turned off, was it?
Not that I know of. Okay. Jerry Jones is still alive. I saw him yesterday.
All right, let's say the game goes on Sunday.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Which we're assuming.
What's going to happen? I mean, is it going to be a close game? It looks like a good matchup. Super Bowls very often, though, are lopsided and boring.
All right. Strip all the garbage aside, I think this game's awesome.
That's what I think.
Two iconic franchises. You have the Steelers. You have the Packers. You have two fantastic quarterbacks. You have two understated but right now fantastic coaches. One of them, Mike Tomlin, already has two rings. He's going to get his third, hypothetically, if they win this one. He's a baby, comparatively speaking, to other coaches. This is a fantastic game, and unfortunately, it might be the last game we see for a while. So if we're going out, I think we're going out with a bang, and I don't think Green Bay can run on Pittsburgh, and I think Pittsburgh wins its third. I mean, third in the last 6 years.
Because Pittsburgh has a better defense, they win the Super Bowl.
I think so, but Green Bay has this ferocious nature to its defense where all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Clay Matthews hits you and you lose the ball and maybe even some consciousness as well, and all of a sudden they're going the other way. They have to account for him all the time. And it's amazing because Roethlisberger, you guys, Roethlisberger will hold the ball forever. And he's not Michael Vick, he's not Vince Young, but he makes more plays out of the pocket than either of those two guys combined because he just doesn't throw.
Right.
He'll wait 10 minutes to throw. You can't do that against Clay Matthews because he will find a way to get to you.
Yeah. Mm.
And Green Bay, of course, was so remarkable in the playoffs on the road. Is this going to feel like a road game for them? What's your impression of how the fans are going to turn out and who they'll be rooting for in the stadium Sunday?
You know, it's a great question. Most of the fans where I am are not here. Downtown Dallas is a ghost town, which is where the media center is, which is where the official league hotel is. A lot of the fans are out in Fort Worth, which is what you see on SportsCenter where they're doing their setup there.
Everybody's like, we'll come in at the last minute.
Right. And a lot of people simply couldn't get here. I know people coming from Chicago, and granted that's not Pittsburgh, but a lot of flights funnel through Chicago.
Sure.
That was shut down for a couple of days. The fans, this will be a late arriving crowd. I am going to guess it's more Steeler than Packer. However, because of the fact that they've been there two times already in recent years, maybe you'll have people pull back. I'm going to go a little bit towards Steeler. However, it'll be yellow.
Yes.
Gotcha. One way or the other.
Good call.
You know, it's funny, and I read something about this yesterday. They were talking about, didn't they award a Super Bowl in the future to a cold weather city, Andrew? That's already happened, right?
New York. Well, hold on. Really, two. Next year, it's Indy.
Next year, it's in Indianapolis, and then it's
Indianapolis,
New York.
And then in a couple of years, it's New York. It's the new Giants and Jets Stadium. The Giants Jets Stadium was the one where, that's where all the controversy is.
Well, at least they don't have a roof. So that's good.
They don't have a roof there, and that's the other
part. Oh, my God.
So that's good.
No one cares about the game. I know this sounds absurd, but it doesn't really matter if there's a roof or if there's a roof. Matter of fact, a lot of people think it would be cool to play a Super Bowl in the snow. It wouldn't be ideal conditions. Maybe it wouldn't be a true test of how good these teams were during the year, but it would be cool. It's all the other stuff, and the fans don't want to hear that. Oh, who cares about your party, and who cares if Marissa Miller showed up? And
I care about that, and I'm not even there.
The reason
a city wants to host a Super Bowl is because they want to make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Exactly. And this right now, although again, it's supposed to be 40-something tomorrow, but this right now is not a doomsday scenario, but one of the bad case scenarios that everyone fears for New York, and to be quite frank, that everyone, you know, a lot of people lobbied against the New York Super Bowl. The commissioner gave it to them, or the owners voted, but that's what they were saying would happen in a couple of years. It's now happening now. The difference is New York, even with all the noise a couple of weeks ago with Mayor Bloomberg and the unions and all that, New York handles it a lot better than Dallas.
Yeah, because they're a lot more used to it. All right, we're out of time. Our friend Andrew Sicilia on the phone from Texas. When are we going to see you on the FSN? You going to be on there tonight or anything, Andrew?
Not on there tonight, but I should tell you to watch tomorrow on the 101 on DirecTV, the 5th annual Celebrity Beach Bowl.
Celebrity,
there you go.
I'll be in 3D if you have a 3D TV.
All right, now.
Which means if I turn sideways, my ear will knock the beer off your table.
Wow. I don't want your ear in my living room.
I can't believe you're doing the Celebrity Beach Bowl again.
Is Marissa Miller playing again?
Yes,
and in 3D.
What happened last year in 3D?
All right.
Okay, that's what sold. I'm talking about. That's way more exciting than Sunday. All right, Andrew, you're the best, dude. Thanks a lot for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Your shot at Big Four tickets. Got those coming up for you in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, a recap of last night's Jersey Shore on MTV. Is this right, LaQuisha? It's the most popular show in the history of the MTV network?
Absolutely. And rightly so.
And for good reason.
Really?
Yep. Still on board. Okay.
Last night was the best episode ever.
Bean, LaQuisha's not just on board. LaQuisha lives for this.
Okay, she does love stupid white people. I always forget that.
Nothing better for me than watching stupid white people. And last night's episode was a shock because they all stopped drinking. They all started going to college.
What?
And, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay, good.
No, last night's episode was the most debasing and degrading show ever.
Okay.
And that's saying something. But, you know, Ronnie and Sammy... His girlfriend, they had been fighting for some time.
Right.
But last week, at the end of last week, it seemed like finally they were putting the worst behind them and getting a new start.
Everyone's having a good time. Everyone's getting along in the house. But once again, one step forward, two step backs.
Yes, two step backs.
That's true. That's what they say.
They're fighting again, believe it or not.
Hard to believe.
They go out to a club and they start fighting. But the situation, he picks up a girl and brings her home. Which, he talks a lot about girls, but you don't see him bringing many home, quite frankly.
Right.
And he takes her to her bedroom, and she wants to put something more comfortable on, so luckily, he's got a t-shirt to give her.
It's a t-shirt.
It's purple.
I know.
It's all right. It's purple.
A situation.
Does it?
Yeah.
He gives her one of his The Situation t-shirts to wear.
Very classy.
Is he actively trying not to get laid?
Here's a shirt with me on it.
Look, here's a picture of me with it says my nickname on it that I've popularized. Put this on to get in a romantic mood. That'll be $12.99, please. Well, Ronnie overdoes it at the club because he's so upset. He's fighting with Sammy.
Sure.
And when he gets home, he is, how do I put this? Unwell.
Oh.
You gonna throw up, Ron? You right, baby? Oh my god. I don't do throw up. I get really sick. I start throwing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people do throw up. Good comment.
I have four major elements that make up any disgusting and degrading reality show.
Right.
I want to see if this week's episode of Jersey Shore hits them all. So let's keep track, shall
okay,
we?
That was one.
Projectile vomiting. Okay, we
Check.
Got that.
Check.
Now, Sammy ends up asking a question about her boyfriend, Ronnie, that no woman really should ever have to ask.
Why is Ronnie bleeding out of his ass? I have no idea.
Okay. Rectal bleeding, number two on my list.
Check.
Rectal bleeding, check. It turns out that Ronnie obviously has some problems with his plumbing, so he's got to go to the doctors and get things checked out.
Oh, no.
We saw this on television last night.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm just going to touch a couple of areas. Tell me if you feel pain.
Okay.
How about here?
No.
Good.
Here?
No.
How about deeper in through here?
Okay.
Come on, what's happening?
Anal exam, three,
Jack.
Check, okay.
Oh my God.
Well, it turns out Ronnie's problems are all connected to his lifestyle, and he got some important advice from his medical professional.
The doctor said that I messed up my because I pretty much need to control my drinking, and that's what I'm going to do.
If you're drinking so much that you're bleeding out your ass.
I've never heard of such a thing.
I've never heard of that level of drinking.
Listen, I got me some drinkers in my family, okay? I had uncle die of cirrhosis of the liver. I seen brothers lose their teeth.
Right.
I seen guys lose their jobs,
but
their
have you checked their asses?
Never had bleeding ass. Never had.
From drinking?
At bar ass or whatever it's called.
Wow.
That's a lot of drinking. Okay, that's three of my four. They may beat the record tonight.
Wow.
I don't know. Let's find out, because Snooki, she was at the club, too, and she met a fella named Jeff that she really loves. And so she brings him home because she thinks this boy could be special for her.
Jeff is definitely DTF.
He's like ready to do moves on me, but really I had my freaking period. Story of my life.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
There's all kinds of bleeding.
There's bleeding coming out of everywhere this week.
That's the big four. Rectal bleeding, period, throwing up, anal exams. I'm going for the record. Let's see what else we can find. Dina, she meets a special fella, too, and brings him home the same night. But thank God somebody in this damn house has some sort of respect for themselves and their bodies and not just whoring around.
I definitely don't have sex on the first night. It's not Halloween. I'm not handing out candy for free. Like, you need a golden ticket to get into these drawers. Dario is not going to get the golden ticket tonight.
Thank God she shows some sort of self-worth. She knows that she is a woman that has a body that has value, and she's not going to just give it up to any man she meets at a bar who buys her a Corona and a shot of Cuervo Gold.
Well, that's good to hear.
Let's see what happened the next morning, shall we?
Whatever. My golden ticket was taken. It is what it is. And you know what? Dario was a good guy.
Wow!
He got the golden ticket?
He went into Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, and he went swimming in the chocolate river.
Oh, I hope not.
He had himself an everlasting gobstopper. He drank the fizzy lifting drink. He got everything that night. Yeah. Okay.
Wow, this is magic.
Snooki decides that she does not want to go swimming with her new fella. Not only because she's on her period, but because she doesn't like the ocean. I had no idea a Jersey girl did not like the ocean. Why? Because it's salty.
Oh, yeah.
Why is the ocean salty? Snooki?
Everybody Google it, because that's why the water is salty. From the whale sperm.
Whale sperm!
No, no, she doesn't believe that.
Whale sperm!
Really?
Whale sperm!
All right, but was she saying that with a smile on her?
Nope. Google it.
That was
that's
serious?
That's why the ocean is salty.
It's a lot.
I think that's a fifth element. Whale sperm. We have a new record.
That is a new record.
Oh, I hate to break the news, but at the end of the episode, looked like Sammy and Ronnie officially broken up. And I was a little broken up by it.
Sure.
But at least I understood it better than Sammy did.
Look me in the face and break up with me, please.
You leave me alone. What part of that don't you understand?
What part of don't you understand? Look me in the face and break up with me. Don't you understand?
What you want is over. We're broken up. We're finished. Okay?
I need a closure.
There's no closure.
I need closure, bro.
What part don't you understand of don't you understand? I don't want to see you anymore. Don't you understand? Don't you understand?
Can't she break up with him?
How much more closure does she need then? Don't you understand? I don't want to see you anymore. Don't you understand? We're broken. Don't you understand? She don't understand.
She needs closure.
I understand. I understand. This is the best damn TV show ever.
All right, Lick, we should talk to you next week.
Bye now.
Hey, party people, pick up the phone right now and give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. If you are a metalhead and you want to be in the desert on Saturday, April 23rd for the best lineup ever, we're talking about Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax all together. Mike, you're going to that, right? You can't miss something like that.
Of course I'm going.
Yeah, he's not going to go. Why do you say that?
That's his dream lineup, though. That's four of his favorite bands of all time.
Yeah, remember when we did Breakfast with Metallica?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, was he there?
So 1-800-520-1067. Here's a hint. You love Metallica so much that you'll even recognize their songs when they're sung by our own Omar Khan. It's time for Omar Roki.
Omar Roki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
We have like three microphones in here, and Omar walked in and broke one. So that's helpful. Yeah. That's good.
That's how hard I rock, man.
You weren't rocking
I'm
yet.
Rock these Metallica songs, man.
Now let's bring Jim into the conversation. He's online too. Omar, please try. I know how you are with the Omar Roki. Please try to sing the song in the melody of the record that we all know and love. It'll make it easier for the contestant to guess the title. Okay?
That's what I do. What are you talking about, man?
Omar, here's the thing. We want them to qualify for the drawing. We want them to get it.
Everybody's going to qualify.
Okay.
Everybody.
All right, Jim, here's the way the game is played. Omar is going to be singing a Metallica song. All you have to do is give us the title of the song, and you are in the drawing to win Big Four tickets. Lisa will let us know in about 5 minutes who wins. You ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good luck.
Something's wrong, shut the light, heavy thoughts tonight, and they aren't of Snow White. Yeah! Dreams of war, dreams of liar, dreams of dragon fire, and the things that will bite. Yeah!
Yes,
well, well, come on, done. Man.
All right, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Title of song.
Enter Sandman.
Enter Sandman is correct. Yeah.
Nicely done.
All right.
Wow.
That's only because Jim's especially a good player. That's why. It's not anything to do with Omar.
All right, I thought that was good. Good delivery. Thank you.
Let's try Lisa. Lisa, line one, joins us on the Kevin Bean Show. Omaroki. Lisa, are you a big Metallica fan?
Yes, I am. It's actually Melissa.
Melissa. Okay. I apologize. Melissa. Good luck.
Needlework the way, never you betray, life that becoming clearer, pay monopoly, ritual misery, chop your breakfast on a mirror, taste me you will see, more is all you need, dedicated okay. How I'm killing
fine.
You.
Okay, you are killing us, that's fine. Lisa, what do you think?
Oh my god, I know the name of this.
Yes, you do.
Oh great, then just tell us that and we'll put you in the drawing.
I know. Oh,
can you take a guess?
No, I can't.
You can't take a guess of any Metallica song. That was Master of Puppets.
Bully!
We heard Joe Mark. We heard Joe Mark.
I rocked it. Yeah, I should be Metallica.
We don't need more from you.
Let's go try Adam, line three. Adam, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We apologize that you have to hear what you're hearing.
What up?
Are you ready?
Yes.
Good luck.
Hey, I'm your life. I'm the one who takes you there. Hey, I'm your life. I'm the one who cares. They betray. I'm the only true fan now. They betray. I'm forever there.
Crap. I know the rest of the song.
Are you kidding me, dude?
Come on. That was pretty close to the Metallica record.
Metallica.
Too. Sorry.
Get it
come
right.
on, dude.
Guess.
Get it.
Guess.
No.
All right.
No guess. Worst contestants ever on the program today.
That was sad but true, and it was dead on.
Yeah.
I'm going to say not Omar's fault today. I just say we got some lame contestants. Let's see if Joe turns it around, trying to get in the drawing for the big four tickets April 23rd. Joe, you ready to play?
Here we go.
What I felt, what I've known, never shine through what I've shown. Never be, never see, won't see what might have been.
Oh, the sensitive Omar.
Yeah. Oh, that was beautiful.
Yep, very nice, very nice. Unforgiving.
There you go. All right, we got two people in the drawing.
Let's do one more. That's all we have time for. Let's make it Alex, line five. Alex, the final contestant on today's Omaroki. How have you been doing playing along on the phone so far?
It's been nice.
Okay.
It's been nice.
Very responsive. All right, listen up. Here's your song.
And the road becomes my bride, and I have stripped all but my pride. So where do I confide? And she keeps me satisfied, gives me all I need, and the dust in throat I crave. Only the knowledge I will save.
Okay, that's fine, Omar. That's fine.
That
what do you think?
Have you heard that song?
I forgot
maybe.
How it goes.
Yeah, no, probably. I don't know. I'll just guess for. Fade to Black, because it's probably way off.
Yeah. Sorry, it was Wherever I May Roam was what we're looking for.
Yeah, that was...
That was way off.
I'm not sure you heard that song.
I think they're going to call the concert the Big Five because I'm going to be coming on the bill.
Jim or Joe, Lisa May, who gets the tickets for the Big Four?
The winner is Jim.
Jim.
Yay!
Our first contestant. Jim, congratulations. Are you there?
It's Joe.
Yes, I'm here. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
No, you're right. You're right.
Wait, I'm confused.
Sorry.
Huh?
Is it
confused
Jim or
me.
Joe?
It was Jim.
Okay, Jim.
I think it was Ken.
Okay, that was on. Jim, you won a 4-pack of tickets to go to the Big Four.
Yeah, dude, disgusting.
Congratulations.
Oh, Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It is the world-famous K-Rock at 8:53.
Director Kevin Smith is taking his new movie called Red State on the road. It is showing at the Wiltern Theater in Los Angeles Saturday, April 9th. Tickets go on sale today. He will be in the studio to join us to tell us all about it coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, his lover, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
I've heard the cast is very good in Red State. Some of the actors are remarkable.
I've heard some of them are very good, too.
I've heard most of them are
I've heard
spectacular.
There's one, everybody
one
but one
in particular stands out as
weak.
Remarkable.
I didn't hear that.
A lot of actors need words to make an impression on an audience.
Not you.
Others don't. There's me. Chaplin.
Right. Right.
Let me think who else. Marley Madeline.
Although they do give her a surprising amount of speaking roles at her appearances. Like on the West Wing, she used to talk.
Yeah.
A lot.
I've got a show tomorrow night with Kevin Smith, by the way. If you're a fan, come out and see us. It's at the Lovitz Comedy Club on City Walk at Universal Studios, 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Kevin and I will be doing our Hollywood Babylon live show that later on becomes a podcast that you can check out at smodcast.com or on iTunes. But we do it live in front of an audience. We always have a good time. So come on out. Go to Babylon Ralph or BabylonKev.com for details and to buy tickets. But it's a blast. I save all the funny showbiz stories for Saturday nights.
Excellent.
So that explains why, you know.
What do you got here?
This particular segment may be a little on the weak side, but we'll see what we can do. Because Kevin is a director, directors are on my mind. Rob Zombie has announced he is directing again. He's directing a thriller called Lords of Salem. It's going to happen in the spring. He wrote the screenplay as well. As
is
you
it
can
a
imagine.
Romantic comedy?
It is not. It's a horror film, believe it or not, from the mind of Rob Zombie. It's about the folks who live in Salem, Massachusetts. And Kevin, I have to tell you about what happened in Salem, Massachusetts back in the 1600s.
You don't know. I know.
What happened?
The witch hunt trial.
Hey, look at Kevin.
Come on. How
knowing
dare you
something.
How dare you?
It is modern day Salem, Massachusetts when they run across a 300-year-old coven of witches. And I'm guessing they don't have them over for tea.
I'm guessing
that'd
be right
a
about
funny,
that.
Funny twist, wouldn't it?
It would.
More director news. Steven Soderbergh's in the news. Ouch.
What?
A woman named Frances Anderson has filed a paternity suit in New York City, claiming that the Oscar-winning director is the father of her baby daughter.
Pam Anderson?
Frances is Australian.
Oh.
Said she's got proof that Soderbergh is the dad. First of all, he paid her medical bills while she was pregnant. That's kind of an indicator.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And more definitively, she says she has results of a DNA test, which proves he's the dad. How did they meet, you wonder? Well, Soderbergh staged his play, Tot Mom, ironically enough, at a theater in her hometown of Sydney, Australia, for a couple months, beginning in December 2009. 9 months later, well, there you go.
Yeah.
But he's married to that chick from E!, right?
He is married to Jules Asner and has been since 2003.
So how's that going?
I'm imagining...
A little frosty at their house?
It's not a good time at the Soderbergh home right now.
Ouch.
I bet there's some explaining to do. Allegedly.
Right.
Look, even if this woman is lying, there's still some explaining to do.
It's probably a little...
Especially if he helped pay her bills.
Yeah.
Just saying. He might just be a good guy. He might be a Hollywood helper.
That's probably true.
But... there may be some troubles.
Hey, there's a spin to everything. Look at all the women that Charlie Sheen is keeping employed. I mean, you can focus on the negative if you want, but he's helping out a lot of young ladies.
How else would a girl like that make $30,000 in a night?
Good point. Exactly.
She's probably going to use that money for college, too.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sure. They're back! MTV has announced that Beavis and Butthead are returning this summer. Rumors been brewing for several months following a cameo in Jackass 3D, but it's official now. MTV... bring it back, Beavis and Butthead, the two guys who will riff on music videos and talk about how to pick up chicks, and just hope Cornholio returns. That's all I can.
How do you guys
Cornholio?
How do you guys feel about Beavis and Butthead coming
Stop
back?
It.
I didn't want them, but when I saw Jackass 3D,
you forgot how funny they were.
Yeah, I was
you?
Mildly entertained. I was like, hey, I like that.
I was the same way. I was a guy who watched Beavis and Butthead and said, eh. And then as Mike Judge's career grew. And I saw Office Space and then King of the Hill and stuff. I became a huge Mike Judge fan, and now I'm ready to go back and appreciate the magic that was Beavis and Butthead in the first place. So
It seems to me like you see Beavis and Butthead and you're instantly transported back 15 years. It just seems like such a cultural milestone from a real specific place in time.
But
it's
making
weird.
Fun of videos is always funny.
That's on him. I mean, he can probably make it current and fun.
Yeah, he's talented.
Imagine
no,
Beavis
no
and Butthead
doubt.
Taking on Kesha, you know, or Bieber. Or Lady Gaga, or whatever it is they're showing on MTV these days. Not that they show videos, but if they did.
That's the other part of it, yeah.
If they did show videos. Speaking of videos, Rihanna, her S&M video has been banned in almost a dozen countries.
All right.
As of this week. People are freaking out about this video. It's not nearly as sexy as other videos have been, but it's the nature of the S&M, the bondage and discipline part of it, I think is giving people pause.
Okay.
So I thought that was interesting that she's been banned.
If anybody's having sex that's different from the sex you're not comfortable with, Ralph, it must be bad.
That's true. We must outlaw it. And finally, The Jennifer Aniston fragrance has been released.
Oh, good. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah. Went on sale yesterday at Sephora.com. You can pick up the Jennifer Aniston signature fragrance. Jen says her perfume was inspired by the smells from her childhood, like jasmine, ocean air, citrus grove, rose water, and wild violets. She's also going to release another fragrance, apparently after this one, that is reminiscent of scents from her adult life. It smells like a guy leaving.
It smells like a dude closing the door behind him.
I'm assuming it's sort of a...
It's strong at first, but then it goes away?
It's like a waft... of like I don't know mahogany, like right. A door,
and right?
Like a smell of like a brass, like a doorknob,
right?
And then nothing, and then gone. Just nothing, just gone.
And then just tears, right?
And just the scent of silence and cheap Chardonnay,
and maybe a cat.
It's a cat urine.
Drama queen.
Today's celebrity birthdays: actor Conrad Bain. You know him. He was Mr. Drummond on Different Strokes.
There it is.
I always love the way they spelled different on that show, too. It wasn't different. It was right. Different.
I never
noticed apostrophe.
That.
Different strokes.
They have room, man.
What might be right for one is not... Oh, never mind.
How is Gary Coleman way, 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 way dead, and Conrad Bain, the old man on the show when it aired in the 80s, is still alive?
Blood transfusions.
Okay.
Yeah. He has the blood of a goat transfused into his body.
Wow.
Once a week.
That's cool.
He's 88. George A. Romero, speaking of The Walking Dead, he is 71 years old. Alice Cooper is 63. Noodles of the Offspring is 48. Rob Corddry, very, very funny man. Has been in a bunch of movies. We've said this before, but if you're not watching Children's Hospital on Adult Swim,
it's on Adult Swim. Yeah.
You're missing out. It is one of the funniest 15 minutes you can have.
Here's what we'll tell you. It's a children's hospital, and he's in clown makeup.
He's a clown doctor.
Covered in blood.
Constantly.
Always.
Yes.
It's really funny. You never see why. He just is.
Such a funny cast.
And a little warning, because it is on Cartoon Network, and it is called Children's Hospital. Not a children's show.
No, not
watch this with children.
No. The hospital is a hospital for children, but right. Not named because they treat children. It's named after the man who founded the hospital, Dr. Children's. That's the kind of mentality that show was. Oscar De La Hoya is 38 years old. Rick Burch of Jimmy Eat World, he is 36. And Natalie Imbruglia celebrates her 36th birthday as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
It's always a special treat for us here on the Kevin DeBean Show when our next guest comes in. He is writer, director, author, actor, and the next owner of the New Jersey Devils, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Smith, right here on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Bean
good morning.
Seems to think you're going to buy the Devils, Kevin.
I think you have to. How could you not?
I don't have that kind of bank. Somebody asked me the other day, like, you can buy the Devils? And then I saw a post under it going, like, could you even buy a low-level hockey team? No, not at all. I don't have that kind of money.
No, but Bean thinks that you have the connections.
You have the connections, absolutely.
To have some backers.
Like who? Like go after some famous people?
Yeah, well,
yeah. Go after explain what hockey is to everybody I know. You know, it's a game that's played on ice. Do you know it? They're like, this has a ball, a big ball.
People in this country
don't know it that much.
That's true.
How would you be as an owner, though? Do you have hockey smarts enough where you could really, really improve a team, Kevin?
Oh God, no. I know nothing about sports. You know, I could go into the locker room and give a very motivational speech and leave, and they'd be like, "That's our owner, ladies and gentlemen. Now let's look at our record: 0-38." I'm not a sports guy at all. I just like it. And hockey I like the most, I think, because it's closest to superheroics. They wear costumes. There are masks.
That's true.
There are good guys, bad guys. There are fights. It's on ice. It's like a Crystal Palace. Like you're fighting in the Fortress of Solitude. It's not so much a sport as it is an adventure for me.
Yeah,
Kevin.
It is. It is, yeah.
It's sort of like a comic book sport.
Yes, very much.
And now they've got the comic book superheroes based on all the teams.
Stanley took it in the most natural direction possible.
Yeah.
And they're all awfully gay, the mascots that Mr. Lee came up with for the hockey teams, aren't they?
I think they're pretty butch. I don't know what else to tell you. Those are pretty hardcore. I wish one of them would save my life.
The reason Mr. Smith is here today is because it's a very exciting day for folks who have been hearing us talk about Red State for the past few months, because you're going to have a chance to see it, and not just see it in a crappy movie theater. You're going to have a chance to see it at the freaking Wiltern in Los Angeles on Saturday, April 9th. Tickets go on sale today. Now, what's included in this ticket price? It's more than just a movie, right, Kev?
Yeah, we kick off our Red State USA tour on March 5th in Radio City Music Hall, and then we travel across the country and end up here at the Wiltern. The two shows, the kickoff show and the end show, will definitely have all the cast and crew there. I mean, most of them live out here anyway, so that's way easy to get.
So
them
it's going to be like watching a play, or you're going to act it live?
Yeah, we're going to perform it. Basically, we've gotten it down to a science. We're doing like that 30 Rock episode.
I've come up with some musical numbers also the show that we're going to do. So it'll be.
Did you write the lyrics for the Omar the Oklahoma thing?
Who I came did.
Up?
Yeah,
it was you, right? Was I was sitting there listening in the car. I'm going, only a drama nerd like Ralph would be in the room going, "Let's do it to the theme of Oklahoma.
Let's put on a show."
But they won't be putting on a show that night. We'll show the movie afterwards. We'll do Q&A with everybody, have a good old time. But that'll be that's if you want to see it early. And you know, it's costlier than seeing it in a normal movie theater.
Sure.
If you want to see it in a normal movie theater, it comes out in October. But if you want to see it a little early here in Los Angeles, me and Ralph acting his fool ass off in the movie without saying a word, the Silent Bob of the 21st century.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to see him redefine himself, then April 9th at the Wiltern. Come on out, man. Those tickets are on sale right now.
Now, is it true that you're hand-delivering your movie and going with it to each theater in the country?
Yes, to some
that
degree.
That might be tiring.
It's not the whole truth. It's just for this tour, this initial tour in March. When it comes to, we are going to release the movie ourselves in October. We didn't wind up selling it. We're keeping it, and we're gonna try to do it ourselves without a studio. We're trying to do it with as little money as possible, not spending any money on marketing, TV ads and stuff like that. So I figured movie doesn't come out till October.
Tell us how Sundance it usually happened. Works and how that will happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, I
don't understand the whole.
Well, let's say I made this movie Red State $4 million.
Yeah,
and that's what it was.
$4 million.
Dollars. What you do is you normally take your movie to Sundance. It was independently made. Try to sell it. It may be domestic. We could try to get $4 million for it. Maybe in this environment, the whole world maybe would have gotten $4 million for it. But then there's that $4 million. In my mind, I'm like, okay, if we just have to make $4 million back, then we're in the clear.
Right.
But that's not the case because, of course, there's the price of making the movie. Then there's the price of marketing the movie, which is never really discussed in any articles or put onto the box office chart. When you see a movie open at number one, $50 million, and everyone's like, woo! You look deep enough, you find out they spent $75 million to get there, to get to the opening. Now, everybody does this. That's the nature of the business. If you're dealing with hundreds of millions of dollars, movies that like you're trying to turn into franchises, it behooves you to do a global launch with as much money as possible. I don't make movies like that. Never have. I make tiny movies that nobody wants to see but the people who are into my stuff. And for years in the 90s and the aughts, people would spend money on marketing on my stuff. But now, in this economy, you know, where there's not enough money going around to make my movies, let alone market my movies. And that was always the biggest expense of filmmaking for me, was just the marketing cost. Like, I could make a movie for low budget. This is the lowest budgeted flick I've done since Chasing Amy. I could keep a budget tight, but what I can't control is how much ad spending costs and whatnot. And so I felt
But let me interrupt there, Kevin, just because I don't understand. Why, if somebody had bought the movie at Sundance, and let's make sure it's clear, if somebody would have bought the movie at Sundance, but you decided to do this way yourself instead. If somebody would have bought it, though, why do you care if they spend $20 million or $50 million? It's not your money to promote the movie.
It's very true. But for years and years, the moment I got into this business, the math always kind of sat poorly with me. I couldn't understand. I understand when you're a studio and you're spending all that money to launch a movie that's expensive, but my stuff is small. And in a world where you're spending, like, let's say we had sold this movie and it got picked up, they would probably spend about $20 million opening it. Some people have said they never would have, maybe 10. Okay, let's say they spent $10 million opening it. That's $4 million I got to make back now, plus that $10 million in marketing. But that's not 14 I've got to make back, because the studio doesn't get all that money. We split it with the exhibitors.
Oh.
So I now have to make $28 million back to feel a point of pride of like, my $4 million movie finally broke even.
Wow.
That math is kind of madness. Again, works at a studio level when you're selling The Dark Knight and whatnot. Doesn't work when you're selling some of the Kevin Smith BS. Now, Kevin Smith can get in touch with his audience right readily. Does it all the time on Twitter and the podcast. And
if we had him here,
we'd
talk to him about it.
If he was here, he wouldn't shut up. He couldn't get him from out in front of so I figured, like, here, this is the best chance. I'm only going to make one movie after this. This is the best chance I have of trying this experiment I always wanted to try, which was, like, don't spend any marketing money and try to release the movie just on word of mouth. And, you know, this has become easier in the age of social media.
Right.
I couldn't have done this with Clerks or Chasing Amy, but now everything's kind of right to try it. It's an experiment. It could work. It could actually blow up. But for me, I'd gone through it 9 times the other way, spending all that money to open tiny movies. I was like, one time now, before I check out of this game altogether, can I just one time play it straight and see if I could do it without spending the marketing money? If it fails, what's the biggest thing? Like, I didn't spend $20 million. That's a win to me.
And you really need to make, what, you know, $6, $7, $8 million now to break even as
pretty much. Like, right now.
And that's attainable.
Yeah, we can hit our goal. Like, $4 million was our budget. Maybe figure another $1.5 million for prints. That's 5.5 to make back total. And if I don't spend anything on marketing, then I can just chart that and be like, okay, based on what we've made here, we've made this much.
And then you start getting paid once you break
even. Yeah, because I haven't gotten paid for any of this. This is all, like, I did this because nobody wanted to make this movie. That's the other thing. I've seen so many people, like, he's so arrogant for releasing this movie. I'm like, isn't it more arrogant to be like, hey, there's this little movie that I wanted to make that nobody wanted to make. Took me 3 years to find the money. Now put $20 million on top of it and trick people into seeing it. That's arrogance, and I don't have that anymore. Like, the days of me wanting to see a commercial for my movie are long gone. Like, of course, in the beginning, I was like, oh, my God, there's a commercial for Clerks. Who knew? 17 years later, now I'm like, oh, my God, there's a commercial that cost $20,000, and it ran on Lifetime. Why did you do this? So, I've just grown up a little bit, and I've experienced some things and watched the business and whatnot. And I ain't attacking anybody particularly. This is just a whole system. It's gone this way. It's just this is the cost of releasing a movie.
I have a lot of respect for what you're trying, and I've been surprised at how angry you have made some people with this approach. Are you?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I think most people are getting over it. In the beginning, right after Sundance, there was a lot of like, who does he think he is? He's got a messiah complex. He's imploding. He's out of his mind. And I found that really strange. Like, all I said was, I don't want to spend a lot of money to release my movie. That's ultimately the message.
Right.
Remove any Sturm und Drang or circus activity around the screening of that movie. The message was, I'm going to keep my movie, and I'm going to try to release it without spending money. And, yeah, there was a bunch of outrage from people that weren't even involved and would have nothing to do with this or benefit or gain from this whatsoever. It was strange.
That's weird.
It seems to be kind of, most people now as the dust settles seem to be kind of getting. I did a really nice interview with Time Magazine that's kind of online right now. It was like we did a Skype interview and stuff. She was really funny because she was like editing it down into text, and she would do whole sections where she talked about what I talk about because she's like, at this point, he did 20 minutes on Smodcast. It was really, I read that, I learned a few things about myself.
You really have to do it that way.
I have to, I guess.
The movie Red State commences March 5th at the Radio City Music Hall with the tour. You can see it Saturday, April 9th at the Wiltern, Los Angeles. Tickets are on sale today.
10
Kevin will be there.
10
Ralph starts. Will be there. The whole cast will be there. See the movie, Q&A afterwards. Sounds like a lot of fun. We'll talk more with our guest, Kevin Smith, right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin Smith in the studio of The Kevin and Bean Show. He and his friend Ralph Grammer are going to be doing the Showbiz Beat for us in about 50 minutes, and you can see them on stage at the John Lovitz Comedy Club again tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Go to Babylon Kev, or is it BabylonRalph.com? Mm-hmm. Are those names?
Yep. It's both. We like to be democratic.
Yes.
You guys been doing that for a long time. How's that been
this
for you, Kevin?
What you
expected?
Episode that just went up was episode 20. Yeah, so we've been doing it for like 20 weeks straight. Maybe we missed a week here or there. But it's been great, man. Like, we grew it at Smodcastle. I mean, some people who listen to the show might remember when we first opened Smodcastle, sure. When me and Ralph first talking about doing it. It would constantly sell out there. We moved it up to the John Lovitz Comedy Club, and it's been great. It's now, we used to do 8 o'clock on Fridays, and we moved to 10 o'clock on Saturdays, and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's so damn perfect.
Well, everyone on our show, except for Kevin and Bean, have been to see it and support you. I just want you to know that.
That's true.
It's true, man. They've all been there. They've been really, really sweet. It's a great space, man. It's a great place to come up and watch the show. And it's,
booze there.
There's booze. That's what makes it better. Who knew?
Yeah.
Like, we were trying to
do jokes. I told you.
You did. But he was always like, it'd be better if we could serve liquor. I'm like, no, let's do this honestly. But then the moment we got to that place with the booze, I'm like, we are like 86% funnier if they're drinking. True. Let's stay here. And then I took the other one with Muse up there. Jay and Bob Gittles, Friday night at 10. That's tonight.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, me and Ralph up at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. Hopefully, we're going to call it the Ralph Garman Comedy Club.
There you go.
There you go.
The Garney.
All right, we have to go back and pick up on something that you said in the last segment, which is that you only are going to direct one more movie after the current one, Red State, that comes out this year. And I assume that's the hockey movie you've been talking about forever.
That is Hit Somebody. That's the one I would like to end on. End on a high
And that's
note.
It? But you're a really good director, though. Why walk away from something you're obviously good at?
I don't think I was ever really a good director. I think I was serviceable at best. I wanted to get into the business to tell stories. I was never like a director-writer. I was a writer-director. And the only reason I directed is because I was like, well, if I'm directing, then I'm controlling the material. Nobody's going to take out the jokes I like or change this or something like that. And that's how I got in, kind of directing that flick myself. But from the first movie, it was clear that, like, the visual style, directing was not my forte. I look at all my movies now, kind of step back. I'm like, okay, all the early movies, I'm obviously in love with screenwriting and performance, but mostly screenwriting. The later movies, what I'm in love with is editing. That's the part of the process that I've really gotten into. And I'm kind of hoping that the last movie, after it's all said and done, I'll feel like, all right, now I am a director, like as my thesis film of sorts. Okay. I'm not a guy who was put on this earth like Spielberg to direct film. Like that dude will go out toes up off a set telling stories until the day he literally drops in film, directing film. That's not my forte. I'd rather tell a story this way. I'd rather sit here and talk to you on mic, talk to Ralph on a podcast, jump on a stage and do that. And after 20 years of being blessed enough to do that one thing, I mean, you think about it. I made Clerks just as a movie that would be a calling card picture. I could show to somebody else and be like, see, we know how to make a movie. Can you give us money so that next time it's not our money?
Right.
And at that point, I'd written Clerks and Dogma. Those are the only two movies that I really had in me. And then, you know, we got picked up by Miramax, and it was amazing. It was like winning the lottery of life. And then suddenly you're like, okay, I got this story I want to tell, and this story I want to tell, and this. And you start pulling them out, man, everywhere. All the stories that ever resided in you when, from that source of energy you grew up in, like my house at 21 Jackson Street in Highlands, New Jersey. I'm so disconnected from that source now. It's been 20 years, coming up August, 20 years since the first moment I watched Richard Linklater's Slacker and said, I would like to be a filmmaker.
Right.
20 years I've been playing this game full out, all passion. You know, some people like, your stuff sucks. Some people like, your stuff's wonderful. But regardless, I've always put everything I had into all of them. When you do that, you empty the tank. And I've just gotten to the point, I said, like, back in 94, I think I only have 10 scripts in me. And Hit Somebody is the 10th script, and I really feel like that's it. I don't have any stories to tell after that in film. Doesn't mean I'm going anywhere. Like, goodbye, kids. I'm going on a cloud. You know, it's not like Dustin Hoffman in that Imaginarium picture. I'm not leaving you. I'm going to be more in your face than ever. It's just film directing takes a lot of time, effort, money, putting together massive schedules. If you could find the money to make it, then there's all that money to sell it later on. It's a gigantic beast to tell that story, way more satisfying to just sit here and talk to you. It costs nothing.
To Kevin Smith fans, though, I apologize. I blame myself because I finally found a director who would put me in movies, and now he's retiring.
That's what broke me. Wow. I worked with Garmin, and I was just like, I can't do it anymore.
That's my luck. That's the story of my life.
Ralph told us while you were filming Red State that you would go home at night and edit it, and then you would come back to the set currently editing.
We were up to date the whole time we were shooting.
Yeah, I would show them the next day. I was like, here's what we shot. Look at it cut together. And not just rough like
that's
the movie.
That's insane. Is it possible that you're just really tired because that was a bad idea?
No, you know what that is? If you look at my career, you could definitely see where the passion work is. Clerks through Jane, Silent Bob Strike Back. All heart, all passion. That's coming right from the gut, from the head. This is me trying my best and hardest.
Right.
By the time I start getting a Jersey Girl, you can see a filmmaker that's just like, all right, well, I've told all my cool stories, all the stories I wanted to tell. What do I do now? Well, I could tell a story about a guy who gets married and she dies and he has to raise a kid by himself. And that's me manufacturing stuff that wasn't in me. I believe, like, for myself, not for all writers, but myself as a screenwriter, I got that thing, like, in the seventh sign, the guff, the well of souls, if you will, and when it's empty, the earth cracks and the seventh sign is revealed. I don't believe that, but I do believe
you're following all that, right, Kevin? You got that.
Of course.
I do believe
I get every reference you just said.
10 scripts in me from the beginning.
Write that down, Mike. I don't
know. I'm a big Bergman fan.
I was going for the Demi Moore movie, man. Remember the Seventh Seal, whatever it was called?
Still out, sorry.
And for me, I've reached that point. Hit Somebody's the last script I got in me. And I feel like I directed Cop Out, and I love Cop Out. I think it's a really fun movie.
I do too.
But at the end of the day, I remember the kid who got into this business who was like, I literally said in an interview, if you ever see me directing a film that I didn't write, that I'm probably paying off a mortgage. And now, it wasn't true when it came to Cop Out, but it's dangerously close to being true in as much as that was not my intention. I didn't get into this business to direct other people's movies. I'm not a director. I'm a storyteller.
You are a bummer, is what you are.
No, I took stock and I realized what I've done, who I am. I'm so happy. I can look at my full shelf of work, all the movies, and never wince. You know what I'm saying?
Like, wow.
I don't look at any of them and go, like, even Cop Out, even Jersey Girl, I don't wince. I just go, you know what? In order to get to the next one, I needed that one, and this had this, and it'll get appreciated later, or maybe not, but I'd never look up there and go, like, one of these sucks. One of these was for money. One of these was for not doing it because I wanted to do it, just do it because I wanted to stay in the business. And it's a great business, and they pay you a lot, and it's wonderful to make pretend for a living, but give it up to the young man. This is a young man's game. There are people out there willing and ready to tell stories that I can't. I've told my stories. The best stories I had to give, I've told. And Hit Somebody will be the one I want to go out on. It's not even completely my story. It's based on the song by Warren Zevon and Mitch Albom. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just feel like if I'm not giving them like, if it, when Gretzky retired, he said, like, you know, every year they get faster, stronger, and tougher, and I just get older. And he got to a point where he's like, if I can't play the game the way I came into it playing, then I don't think I can play the game anymore. There's a level I want to play at, and if I can't do it, I don't want to play. So I feel like I want to go out at the level I came in. That's why Red State I want to hold on to and kind of go indie with it a bit and try an experimental thing. Because when I got in this business, dude, I was pushing boundaries and pushing at the edge of the envelope and doing stuff nobody had done before. And then I just kind of became complacent and just doing what everybody does. You know what I'm saying? Like the 21-year-old Kev would never have made Jersey Girl. Not that he disowns it, but like that's not what I had in me. And when you get to a point where you're like, all right, well, let me try to make it.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 9:45.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We gave away the tickets for Red State at the Wiltern with Kevin Smith and our friend Ralph Garman. His character name is, of course, Caleb, so we got some Red State fans in on that. Ralph and Kevin are here with the Showbiz Beat right now, and something else to give away. Am I right, Ralph?
More tickets. Oh, we're just lousy with tickets. Wow. We stock them deep and sell them cheap here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you'd like to go to a special advanced screening of Cedar Rapids, very funny comedy, that was at the Sundance Film Festival, the same weekend that Red State
right after us. It screened right after us.
Ed Helms from The Office.
Miguel Arteta. Star Maps, Miguel Arteta. He was the director.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Amongst other things, Youth and Revolt he just made recently.
John C. Reilly stars with Ed Helms and Anne Heche. And I can't say Anne Heche's name anymore without talking about
it. It trended the other day. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see
I
that.
I did.
Yeah. Kevin is obsessed.
No, I'm not. Don't make me sound crazy.
Not to digress here, but we talk about quite often on the Hollywood Babylon yes. podcast that we do live at the John Lovitz Comedy Club tomorrow night at 10 o'clock.
Nice plug.
That Kevin is obsessed with Anne Heche's sphincter.
I heard this.
This is not obsession.
It comes up almost every show. I pointed out very accurately.
If you ever see the Psycho remake with Vince Vaughn, the Gus Van Santed,
right?
Anne Heche. Mm-hmm. Spoiler! If you've never seen it or the other Psycho, Anne Heche is the chick gets iced in the shower in this version.
Right.
When she falls forward and dies in the shower, they're kind of pulling up. You see her leaning forward. Her cheeks are spread. And it's one of the only times in a major motion picture I saw that particular piece of anatomy. Like, up, I was like, whoa,
and
everyone
you
else
still,
see this?
And you still bring it up every single podcast?
It seems to come up. Yes.
I go out there like Paul, who was Saul, struck down on the road to Damascus, and I tell people, look at Psycho to see this amazing brownness.
Kevin was freeze-framing it back in the VHS days, he would tell me.
That is an actress, man. Somebody who's like, hey, man, I think we saw your ring piece. She's like, I don't care. That's the art, man. I was in the moment.
However, how good an actress can she be if that's what you're noticing in the scene instead of her emoting?
But you know me. I'm an ass man.
I know you are, so you got that going for you.
Speaking of asses, Diana Agron from Glee. She's got a nice one. She is now taken. She's engaged to her co-star from I Am Number 4, Alex Pettyfer. They star in the teenage sci-fi thriller together, and now they're engaged, and congratulations.
Which one is she?
Kids. She is Quinn, the one who was pregnant on Glee,
and then gave
the baby up, and they never talk about it anymore. It's funny. It doesn't even factor into her character any longer.
Too busy singing, man. That's too busy right. Like, let's do the time warp again in high school.
Congratulations to Colin Hanks. He and his wife had a baby girl yesterday named Olivia. Olivia Hanks. Great name for a
this
baby.
This is the dude who was in Mad Men?
Yeah, played the priest.
Yeah,
in Mad Men.
He's a good actor. He came in to audition on Cop Out. We wanted to hire him, but we wound up.
He was great on Roswell. He was on the TV show Roswell.
He is such a good actor, man.
He was on a series called The Good Guys with Bradley Whitford recently on Fox. It was just canceled.
I'm going to try to put him in the hockey movie. He has a good old timey look, too.
He does.
He fit well in the 50s or in the 60s in Mad Men. He'd be a good guy to... Maybe I could cast him in your part,
Hey,
Ralph.
Wait a minute!
That's an upgrade.
How much do you like him now, Ralph? I only got one role left. Right. Tom Hanks is, of course, his dad. That must mean that Chet Hayes is his brother, I'm guessing.
Half-brother, maybe?
The rapping Chet Hayes.
That's right.
Probably half-brother, because it's Rita's is Chet's mom, and right. I think Tom's first marriage is
where you guys know we're on
from.
The air.
We're talking, man.
When we talk about Hank's family business, we get real serious, and the room falls away.
Do you understand that we're still...
Yeah, that's true. Okay. There are other people listening. All right. Let's be entertaining.
Just checking.
We're really doing the Hank's family tree and whatnot.
who was his cousin, Ralph? Do you remember? Rita Wilson, they met on
Volunteers. I don't know who any of those people are.
And lastly, Justin Bieber.
The Biebs?
Maybe
what's
loved,
going on with the Biebs?
Maybe loved by Bean, but he is not apparently loved in New York City. He was at the Knicks game in the Madison Square Garden on Wednesday night. When they put him up on the Jumbotron, there he was wearing his pink sunglasses. Surprise, surprise. They started booing. The entire arena erupted really loud boos and apparently made Justin very sad.
Remind me never to go to a basketball game.
I bet they'd love you in New York. Nah. You're a local boy.
They put me up. They'd be like, oh, he's too fat for the screen. Take him off. He needs to buy two screens.
Any grown man who likes Justin Bieber is a pedophile and a sheep.
There you go.
Listen, I don't want to get in the way of your good story here, Ralph. But I saw the clip, and the announcer says it's about half booze and half applaud. I mean, I think he got a little bit of both at the arena.
Just stop.
I'm telling you factually what happened. I don't care what happens. Look,
friend of Bieber.
He's a friend of Bieber.
Look, Justin Bieber can sell out Madison Square Garden anytime he wants. He doesn't care whether somebody's booing at him or not.
Yeah. No kid ever cares if somebody shows them any sort of, negativity.
No, 16-year-old.
Well from that.
No,
kids are always like, I'm healthier and stronger because of your hate.
Especially when 19,000 people do it at the same time.
Self-esteem is never stronger than when you're 16 years old.
That's true.
And
that's
people are booing at you at a basketball game.
Wait till that kid gets tossed off a plane. Then he'll know humiliation.
That's right.
A couple people booing at you at a b-ball game. You're all right.
Hair's too big to fly. He'll know what that feels like.
Don't be hating on my Justin. That's all I'm saying.
Oh. God damn.
He just says that to get a reaction.
See? So Smith knows. Come on.
Today's celebrity birthday is Natalie Imbruglia.
Yeah.
Is 36 years old today.
Crikey.
She's hot. What was her big hit? Torn, wasn't that it?
That was it.
I'd like to tear.
Rip it in the tear.
Jimmy Eat World, their bassist, Rick Burch, is 36 years old. Oscar De La Hoya, boxing legend, is 38 years old. Rob Corddry, funny man, Rob Corddry. Do you watch Children's Hospital?
I haven't yet, but I saw the billboard and boy, did it look funny.
Boy, is that a funny
great
show.
I loved him when he did his little piece. I mean, I've seen him, of course, on The Daily Show, but I loved him when he was on, he was the one that was on Arrested Development, right? Who was like Frank Wrench. Is that Rob Corddry? Am I crazy?
I'm trying to remember him on
Arrested Development. The one that Lindsay liked, he's like one episode, he played a guy named Wrench. Her husband lived in the bathroom on the set of Frank Wrench. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know who any of those people are.
My bad, I'm moving on. I think they're second cousin to the Hankses. Aren't they related to Tom Hanks?
Rob Corddry has a brother I know who's also a very popular working actor.
Was he on?
I think that may have been him. Yeah.
Okay.
That Corddry.
Oh.
The other Corddry.
There's two Corddrys.
Wow.
Noodles of
in
the
my
Offspring.
My family, there was only barely enough talent for one of us, let alone anyone else.
The Offspring, Noodles, is 48 years old. Alice Cooper, Welcome to My Nightmare, 63 years
You're
old.
You're kidding.
Today. Yeah.
Still doing it, man. Still a young man. Rebel till the end.
George,
Here's the update from producer Alex. Kevin Smith, you're absolutely correct. Rob Corddry played Moses Taylor on two episodes of Arrested Development.
I'm a huge Arrested Development fan.
Kevin Smith for the win.
I remember that character. Ask me other questions. I want to be on Celebrity Jeopardy. Thank you. Quasi-celebrity. Low-level celebrity. Fat Jeopardy. Please.
You know what I remember Rob Corddry from is, remember in Semi-Pro, the basketball movie with Will Ferrell?
Yes.
And Woody Harrelson?
Yes.
When Woody Harrelson is making love to his girlfriend, Maura Tierney?
Yes.
And he sneaks back into the house and just sits down and sort of enjoys himself while he's watching them on the couch.
Scene, man.
Creepiest three-way ever
good
in a movie,
man. That's a movie that didn't get enough play.
I liked it a lot.
I thought that was my favorite Will Ferrell movie in a while, Semi-Pro. Yeah.
Alice Cooper, 63. George A. Romero, the man who brought us The Zombie, is 71 years old today.
Wow.
And Conrad Bain.
There it is.
Mr. Drummond himself is 88 years old today.
Can you believe that?
Happy birthday, Bainey.
Is that his nickname?
It is now.
All right.
Mr. Drummond, man.
It was.
I know.
As the dad.
Yeah,
he brought those two kids out of the inner city, took them into a penthouse up on the west side.
Yeah.
Up the west side.
I brought this up earlier. Where was Child Services when this single old Caucasian man was bringing two young Negro bucks into his home? Exactly. What was going on in that house?
And
he was ignoring his own natural daughter, pretty much. Yeah, he was just focusing on the two black
dad
boys.
Dad, help me. He's like, they got problems over here, man.
That's
they're making adjustments and whatnot. They're going down to bike shop all the time. I'm going
to
bike shop.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
That's what he said to him.
We're done.
I have to tuck Arnold's shirt into his pants all day. That's what Mr. Drummond was saying.
All right.
Too much touching going on in that home. I'm Ralph Garman. He's Kevin Smith.
Hey.
Babylon. I'm Ralph Garman.
The wrong show, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Showbiz, right.
And the Wiltern. April 9th, tickets go on sale in 7 minutes.
Yes. Like buy them up. Tickets. Come see me and Ralph's big old horror film debut, unless you count Sharktopus.
I think it's livenation.com or coopersdale.com. You can go to
that's correct. Tickets, yeah. And join us Monday morning. We've got an all new show. We've got highlights of the Super Bowl. We've got Would You Like to Take That Back? Petros Papadakis in the studio. Harvey Levin. Jennifer Beal. Chicago Code and more.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's love and chicken grease, man.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Boston.
Pancake.
Roll another one.
Cincinnati. Bow tie.
Just like the other one.
Mmm, delicious.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'm busy now, you can't be hounding a pet.
I need another hit.
Kevin and Bean, you. You're not funny. You want to know funny? Walter Matthau. He's funny. Gorbachev, that's a funny guy.
I don't care.
Roll another one.
You know.
Just like the other one.
I'm not feeling it.
This one seems to be about to end.
Kill Whitey.
I don't have another cent.
And I don't drink or take drugs.
Reap me.
Just pass it around.
Good thanks.
Bomb them.
Just pass it on down.
Rock and roll is for morons. You've seen the moral effect it's having on our younger generation. And I say again, it's outrageous, depraved. I'll not tolerate such behavior in this town. Go home.
How did you all feel when you knew the show was coming to an end?
I think we all had the same reaction, you know, which was, thank God.
By the power vested in me, I now pronounce you canceled.
But he's right. It's over.
Brought to you by people who... Oh, I forget who brought us this.